Well, welcome everybody. My name is Tatanka Bricka, chair of KPFK, local station board, LSB. And this is our monthly meeting. It is now, June 9th, Sunday, June 9th at 10:44 a.m. Pacific time. And first thing we'll do is do our roll call. So, Leslie, our secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes. Starting now, Rodrigo Argueta Vargas.
Presente.
Thank you. Christina Avalos.
Here.
Thank you. Doug Barnett. Doug Barnett. Veronica Becerra. Veronica Becerra. Mike Bressler is an excused absence. Rachel Brunke.
I'm here.
Excuse me. Mike Bressler has asked for an excused absence because his daughter is graduating today, but we still have to approve it. Thank you.
Rachel Brunke.
I am here. Good morning.
Thank you. Sue Cohen Johnson.
I'm here.
Thank you. John Cromshow.
Present.
Thank you. Grace Bestwick.
Here.
Thank you. Vic Jerami.
Here.
Thank you. Ariana Gladney is a request for an excused absence. Jan Goodman.
I'm here.
Thank you. Wendell Handy. Wendell Handy. Nikki Hahn.
Here. Good morning.
Thank you. Michael Heiss.
Wouldn't miss it for the world.
Thank you. Evelia Jones.
Present.
Thank you. Oye Oyeyipo.
Here.
Thank you. Robert Payne. Robert Payne. Nancy Perlman. Nancy Perlman. Myla Reason.
I'm here. Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you. Oscar Ulloa. Oscar Ulloa. Harvey Wasserman.
Here.
Thank you. Carlos Zavala.
Present.
Thank you. Michael Novick, I believe, is also here.
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Stephen Meeks as well.
Yes, here.
Thank you. And Stephanie Wells.
Yes, here.
Thank you.
And you didn't call me, but I'm here.
Yes, to talk about it. Okay. Thank you. Noted.
Okay.
Michael, we're getting a lot of noise from your device. Oh, thank you.
So what's your total, Leslie, for quorum? Whoop.
16.
Okay. Well, that's quorum. So it is now, 10:49 a.m. Pacific time. And we will go through excused absences now, MG.
Okay. The two that I was given notice of are Mike Bressler and Ariana Gladney.
Okay.
Mike Bressler, as I said before, has asked for excused absence because he's graduating.
Mr. Chair, may I move that we excuse the absences of those who have requested them?
Yes.
To be excused?
Yes, I move that we excuse those requested. May I hear a second?
Second.
Okay.
I have my hand raised.
So done.
Got a question.
Just a second, please. I'm going through the agenda. I'm going to take questions after we go through all this. Request for timekeeper.
Yes,
Michael Heist, thank you so much for showing up again. Okay, I'm going to make, I've got 10 minutes.
Excuse me, Tatanka, just for the record, I just want to clarify what you put in the agenda. 92nd first time speaking. Excuse me. 91st time, yeah. 62nd time, including other Michigas.
That's correct.
Okay, got it. Thanks.
And then, if you can also track the amount,
I've got two stopwatches.
Okay, great, terrific. Thank you, Mike.
Sure.
Okay. Time for a few comments for me, and I do see your hand, Rodrigo. I will get to you in a minute. So welcome everyone, and thank you for showing up this Sunday morning.
We didn't vote. We didn't vote on the excused absences. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't. I asked for a second.
You need to ask if there are any objections.
Yeah, I said not hearing any objections.
Oh.
For our excused absences. Okay. Those are there were two, right? They were, Mike Bressler and Ariana Gladney.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you. So, as you know, one of my goals as our LSB chair for this year has been for us to listen and speak with respect on this call with each other, regardless of our opinion or point of view. And that goes to the question of who speaks and when. And we've made progress on it. At least that's what people tell me. And those who are speaking during this meeting, for everyone listening, are at this point local station board members. Community members who are not on the LSB board are listeners, and there is 30 minutes. We have two 15-minute time periods, which we'll let you know when they are, as the agenda is read for those listening. And that is your time to speak. We've experimented and decided to endorse the Pacifica bylaws in regards to honoring our agreed-upon times for LSB members to speak. And so I really do appreciate you, Mike, sticking about this timekeeper. If anybody loves doing it as much as Michael, or at least is willing as a backup in the future, let me know, because he's been really invaluable with this. And it's really important, because respecting our time limits is respect for each other. I mean, I fall into the category of someone my wife has created a to-be-adopted 12-step program for, called On and On and On Anon. So there's many of us here that love to hold forth. So I also want to especially thank a few people who work so hard between these meeting times. Now, everybody here, I'm not going to name everybody, but please know that you're all valued. I want to thank our vice chair, Nikki Hahn, who has been serving on and kicked off the fundraising committee, called that into existence. And she's been assisting me with details and really invaluable. I want to congratulate her. She's graduating from UC Santa Barbara this Sunday. Congratulations, Nikki, and thank you for showing up. Our amazing secretary, Leslie Dion, MG, has been an absolute pleasure for me to work with. She's the one you let know if you can't show up for a meeting to ask for excused absences. And all the board members, please do keep her in the loop with regards to next agenda or anything that doesn't conform with her minutes. We're lucky to have such a competent and thorough secretary who also has a most interesting and busy life, as we all do. I want to thank our committee initiators or chairs, including Evalia Jones, who's been working hard to convene the first gathering of that all-important Committee of Inclusion. To assist Rodrigo, I want to thank him for his outspokenness for the issue and others interested on that committee to reach a greater diversity to serve our amazing LA audience. So Evalia has been an amazing ally for all of us and to me personally during my initiation here as board chair. So thank you, Evalia. Vic Jarami, who serves as chair of our programming oversight board, has demonstrated consistent, energetic, and imaginative direction to this all-important committee to serve our diverse community of humans on our listening range. Thank you, Vic. I want to thank Michael Pius for stepping up. It may seem like a small thing. It's not a small thing to keep time. I want to thank Rachel Brunke for, you know, suggested putting in that little thing at the end, as you'll notice, for community announcements if anything gets left out. And she did it to let us know about Fleet Week in LA. And thank you for stepping up and for other things she felt, you know, important to speak about. So those of you who step up and make suggestions that end up in voting things is really helpful. Lastly, I want to extend a special welcome to our special guest today here, Pacifica Executive Director Stephanie Wells, who will be giving a full hour and a quarter of her valuable time to go over our KPFK 2025 annual budget. I want to make a correction for the first minute that went out, which I think has been corrected, which will be read. And I was responsible for mishearing that. You notice we have 75 minutes total, and Stephanie very wisely said that she will take questions as she goes through. To hold the questions in something as complex as this will just take more time, et cetera. So the whole 75 minutes is for hers to cover it. And as your hands go up, I myself and Nikki and others will be reminding her if she loses track that we do have questions. So that's how that part is going to work. And many of us who have observed you, Stephanie, on your reportage of things with KPFK and Pacifica as a whole, have been most impressed with your clarity and your respective listening and straightforward answering questions. So welcome and thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, so this budget, as you know, is all important to everything we do. And so I'm hoping we can gain some time over the things working up to that and following, because this is a 3.5-hour agenda as it exists now. So a hoe on that budget, and let us begin. Hold on. So I think I came in under my 10 minutes. We'll save a little bit there. Land back acknowledgement, comportment, Evalia Jones. You're up.
It is the reclamation of everything from the original peoples, land, language, ceremony, food, education, housing, healthcare, governance, medicines, kinship. It is a relationship with Mother Earth that is symbiotic and just, where we have reclaimed stewardship. It is bringing our people with us as we move toward liberation and embodied sovereignty through an organizing, political, and narrative framework. It is a long legacy of warriors and leaders who sacrificed freedom and life. It is a catalyst for current generation organizers and centers the voices of those who represent our future. It is recognizing that our struggle is interconnected with the struggles of all oppressed peoples. It is a future where Black reparations and indigenous land back coexist, where BIPOC collective liberation is at the core. It is acknowledging that only when Mother Earth is well, can we, her children, be well. It is our belonging to the land, because we are the land. We are land back.
Aho. Thank you, Avelia. Okay, Pacifica Foundation. Pardon me?
Sorry, Oscar Rioja has just joined us.
Okay, great. Noted. Welcome, Oscar. Pacifica Foundation mission statement. I'm trying to remember during the meeting. Nikki, did you agree to read that this time?
I didn't, but I can.
Okay. Well, there's a first time for everyone. I thought I heard that right. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Pacifica Foundation mission statement. To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation. To establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved shall be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934 as amended. In radio broadcasting operations, to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships for creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between the individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information on the causes of conflict between any and all of such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonisms. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such varied sources in the public presentation of accurate, objective, comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community.
Thank you, Nikki. Okay, now we're at approval of the agenda. And I've asked, this is what I'd also ask you to read, Nikki. So for people who are in their cars or whatever, can you read that?
Just a second, I'll put it up on the screen.
Okay, great.
And I think we need to hear Oscar's voice in order to record him as present.
Good morning to everyone.
Okay.
Good morning, Oscar.
Yeah, sorry, I'm gonna have one of those nice situations where pretty much I run out of battery and I just was able to get access to where to recharge my phone. So pretty much I didn't have any way to connect myself. So, but thank you so much for that. All of you to be there too. Thank you.
Gracias, Oscar. Okay.
Excuse me, Jan Goodman. I'm on the phone, so I can't raise my hand or anything, but is Rodrigo Argueta's hand still up?
Yes, it is.
Maybe it's a good time to recognize him.
Well, I was going to do it right after agenda, but I can do it now. Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Okay, one question is that.
Sure.
Who is the person who was supposed to send the notification for the meetings of the local station board and the agenda? And, because it seems like, I don't know if, it goes to spam or something, but sometimes I don't get it, or sometimes I don't get the notifications. And I don't know who's supposed to correct that, because I had two emails and I look in both emails, but I didn't get it.
No, you're talking about the notice for this meeting?
Yes. Yes.
With sending out the agenda and the budget and all that, that was sent out twice to everybody on our list by Leslie. It's a little later than normal because we weren't sure about the agenda with Stephanie until kind of the last minute, but I'm sure you got it unless, why don't, give me your email if you want, because I don't know if you have more than one email and it's going into spam or something.
None of them is getting it. You know, that's the thing, you know, and I don't even have a lazy right here to, you know, whoever. So that's.
Do you want it recorded and on the, available to everyone?
Well, that's lacomite@aol.com. Yes, like they always, I've been using that one for like probably 20 years, you know. So, and for all the meetings of the local station board, that's lacomite@aol.com.
Okay. Well, that's important that you know. Have you checked that, Leslie? Or can anybody check that that's the email he's got right now? Or otherwise, we'll have to get back to you.
I'm looking on the, it says lacomite@aol.com, listed as one of the.
Yeah. Okay.
The recipients.
And that is your correct email, right, Rodrigo?
Yes. Can you send me an email to make sure that it's that's the one? Because actually Bella sent me the link yesterday, but no, for whatever reason it's not coming. Can you send me an email just to double check, please?
Okay.
Petenko, I just want to say I get it through the spam. I've been receiving, so I'm trying to correct that, but Rodrigo, have you checked your spam?
Let's see.
Check all mail.
Yeah, but it goes to spam actually. Cause I'm checking the spam, but that's what I'm saying. June 7th. So it just sent like 2 days ago then. Yeah, because it went to spam.
Okay, that's something that happens to me too as well, Rodrigo. Sometimes for some unexplained reason, something that's been coming to me goes to spam. Other than that, I don't really know what to say because we're sending it out to the very email that you want us to. So,
but the thing is that right here, when I open it, it says attachments cannot be downloaded. So it's a red mark right there saying that the attachments that were sent by Leslie, says that cannot be downloaded. That's what it says. Because it went to spam, so maybe because of that. So, well, how do you fix that? Because if it comes to spam and I cannot open the information, how do you fix it?
Do we have a volunteer here that they can work with Rodrigo after this meeting to help him with this?
I can try.
Okay, thank you, Nikki. You and Rodrigo, you and Nikki get together and see if you can get this solved. Thank you for bringing that up, Rodrigo. Rachel, you have your hand up, and then I want to get on to the next item. Go ahead, Rachel.
Yeah, I don't know if, you know, where this comes, but this would have been a perfect thing for the chat. Very important that Rodrigo, you know, get that need met, but there's so many reasons, everybody, for us to have the chat open, at least for us on the board. I just really hope that can be an agenda item. Pronto. Thank you.
Thank you, Rachel. Terrific. Okay, approval of the agenda. Nikki, can you read the agenda? for those listeners that aren't able to see it.
Yes. Okay, so we have 35 minutes for our opening business. We have the 2025 Pacifica KPFK budget report from Stephanie Wells, 75 minutes. The IGM reports by Michael Novick for 5 minutes, followed by a Q&A. We have 15 minutes of public comment. We have the PNB Director's Report by Jan Goodman, 10 minutes. We have the LSB Committee Reports, 15 minutes. And then we have 15 minutes of public comment, followed by the LSB Member Community Announcements for 5 minutes. We have a motion regarding points of order by Harvey Wasserman for 5 minutes. And then we have the adjournment set at 1:45 p.m., time certain to adjourn.
Thank you. Do we have a motion for approval of the agenda as read? And a second?
I second.
So moved.
Okay.
Milo moves.
Okay, thank you. Did you get the names of those?
Who seconded?
Leslie, did you get the names of the second?
No, I didn't, because people are talking over one another. Who was the second?
I second. Christina.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Moved and seconded. Are there any objections? Okay, the agenda has been approved. And now lastly, before we go to Stephanie, approval of the minutes. So, the minutes were sent out to everyone, and that Leslie has typed up. Do I hear a motion for approval of the minutes and a second?
Jan Goodman, so moved.
Okay, and do I hear a second?
Second.
And that was...
Carlos Zavala?
May I suggest that when people second that they also mention their names?
Yeah, so that's okay. Carlos, that's a good suggestion, because our secretary has to put these in the minutes in the future. That's why we're asking for the names. So that was Carlos Zavala. Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Approval of the minutes. Any objections? Okay, the minutes are approved as read. Now, the next item agenda, we're only, with all that delay in getting started and getting knocked off, we're only behind by around, 7 minutes. So hopefully we'll catch up with that. So now we come to the time where we have, I'm going to turn this over to Stephanie Wells. You have 75 minutes, which would be, what is that, Mike?
That's where you just says 15 minutes. That's why you sort of.
No. We're doing what I said earlier is it's an entire period. The 15 and 60 are together.
Got it. All right. I got it. I got to get that math thing right. Sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. 75 minutes, and Stephanie's going to take questions as she goes. So that would make it 12 and 15 would
about
make
12:30.
It, yeah, 12:27, 12:30. Okay, great. Take it away, Stephanie Wells.
Thank you very much. First of all, I just want to thank the persistence of Michael Novick to help in suggesting that we get this budget in a timely manner. So it's been wonderful to be able to present to the National Finance Committee that we're already working on fiscal year 25 budget for KPFK. We do have some extra assistance in the national office that is working with us to put these budgets together, which is wonderful. And they've had experience working before with the budgets, hence why you see some of these formats that you have most likely seen in the past. We are also working on the WPFW budget. So we're hoping to be able to get this, you know, moving fairly quickly. One of the things too is because some of these expenses, and Michael also did a great job just reviewing the first draft that was sent over, and had quite a few notes that he shared with our national business manager and myself. So, you know, I do want to thank him for the detail and the time he's put into working with us with this.
And one before you note, go on, I also would like, as the chair of the board, to extend a thank you to Michael as well on behalf of all of us, because without that work, we don't have this. Go ahead.
Correct. Yeah. And it's funny because when we are in the National Finance Committee meeting, and I'll say we're working on the, you know, fiscal year 25 budget at KPFK, and then we're going to be moving, we're working on WPFW now. You know, I'll get texts sometimes sent to me where people say, oh, I think you misspoke. I think you meant fiscal year 24. So it's like, nope, fiscal year 25. So it's pretty interesting that even in the world of Pacifica, we're in that mentality that we're, you know, always a little bit behind. So I do appreciate that we're slowly chugging along to try to get ahead of the game. So this is very early for the budget. So this is a draft. I am hoping that people in the LSB will be able to take a close look at it, you know, if they're interested in the best that they can, and make notes. You know, you can even work with the spreadsheet and add a comment to it. You know, anytime that you're working with an Excel spreadsheet, you can insert, my screen is sharing, but you can insert a comment, and then you can just type next to that, you know, square and put a comment. You can send it back to myself, and you can send it to Markeisha, and we'll work with you on it. So then we can hope that by answering everybody's questions and making adjustments as we move forward, then we can get a more finalized budget that the LSB could approve by next week. Myla has her hand raised. Myla?
You just anticipated my question and answered it before I was able to ask it, which is when it might be appropriate for the local station board to approve it. So you're thinking that possibly by, what did you say again?
July. I would think that whenever your next meeting is, I don't know your schedule off the top of my head. So we've made adjustments already based upon questions that I had after looking at it, and based upon questions that Michael sent in an email. And so we were able to make adjustments.
That would be by July 14th, Sunday, July 14th is our next meeting.
That's ample time. That's ample time, you know, and yeah. I would love to be able to get it to everyone in a timely manner. So then we have more time to look at it even prior to the meeting. So then if there are mistakes and things that need to be changed prior to that meeting, we don't have to worry about making the changes and then waiting another month to try to get it approved.
Well, the moment I get it from you, I will send it out to the LSB board.
Okay, perfect.
Great.
Because it is a process. I respect the process, but it is a lengthy process. So when we have the budget that's created, working with the general manager and those involved at the stations that are dealing with the budgets, and then we input all that information in the national office and put it in the format, and then Markeisha revises it, takes a look at it. I revise it, take a look at it. We send it to the general manager and everybody that's a part of that process. They make their revisions. We send it to the LSB. They make their revisions. And then once that's finalized, then the NFC, and then they can make comments and revisions and suggestions. And then it goes to the PNB. So it is a process, which is fine. The process is there. We respect that, but it can be timely when the meetings don't line up possibly. So what we've got with this is that we have, in this, I'll highlight things as I talk about it, you know, in just a quick overview of the spreadsheet. We're on the spreadsheet that says budget fiscal year 24, 2025, which is the first tab. We have, in column C, a total year actuals for fiscal year 2022. Then when we move to column D, we have total year actuals for fiscal year 2023. And we have that obviously just so we can do a bit of comparison. Then as we move into the columns E through K, we have the actuals based upon our financials from the beginning of the fiscal year, October 2023 through April 2024. Then as we move into the columns L through, I have to move the people here on the screen there. Then as we move through L through P, columns L through P, we have our projections from May of 2024 through September of 2024. So obviously by the time we get to revising it again after this meeting, we will have our actuals for May. But when the budget was originally created, we were working only from projections of what we had from May. We have had when revenue is input, unless it is coded to where it should be, excuse me, on our side, we only put it into listener support. Excuse me. So sometimes with the car donations in particular, just with time and the staff being, you know, worked extremely hard and the move happening, not always were things able to be coded the way they should have been coded. So sometimes the car donations in particular just kind of slipped through the cracks. But we were able to work with the membership director at KPFK to kind of get greater details on those car donations. We're able to plug those in. So again, with the projection, it's one solid number. The same with listener support in row 5. It's all even numbers because we are projecting what those expenses will be or what that revenue will be based upon historically what it has been. So as we look through listener support, we are projecting for the end of this year that we will be able to raise in listener support $994,604. We'll round it up to 605. So on the same page as we merge spreadsheet, as we move forward, based upon the actuals that we've seen so far, based upon what we're projecting for the remainder of the fiscal year of based upon creating those projections based upon the actuals, we can then look and project into fiscal year 2024-25. So fiscal year 25. Again, strictly projections, but we can estimate that it will be listener support of $1,120,212. It is a increase, which is always our goal to try to increase, but increase conservatively within the world of Pacifica. I believe historically we don't want to project a revenue increase of more than 10% just because we want to be realistic. If by chance we can raise more than that, great. Because what we do with budgets technically is we look at the budgets, each station or each division's budgets, every quarter, every month, you know, whatever is the easiest because we look at the financials every month, but we present those budgets to the National Finance Committee or your local finance committee on a regular basis so we can see where we're at. We can project, are we reaching goal? Did we reach goal with our listener support? Did we have undue expenses or expenses that we weren't anticipating? And so we can continue with that projection and anticipation process throughout the year, not just approve the budget, set it aside and say, whew, we're done, now let's move on. But we want to be able to keep track of those expenses and keep track of that revenue throughout the year so we can project and make plans if we're seeing something that we're not going to make the revenue, or we've had a, you know, substantial increase in revenue, or we've had expenses that we didn't plan on, then we can make those adjustments. So we're being more proactive rather than reactive. And then we're not taking, you know, we're not taken by surprise at the end of the year when it's like, oh my God, how did this even happen? So within the revenue, we don't really have anything projected for corporate match because it hasn't really been budgeted or tracked possibly throughout the year. In fiscal year 23, there was a, you know, $45 corporate match. I'm sure there are corporate matches out there, but it's just not being input as a corporate match, you know, but that's something that we can look at. So as we move forward, we know that there's corporate matches out there. So then we can do some sort of campaign where we're reaching out to our listeners and we're, whether through the dispatch that goes out on a regular basis or through messages that go out on the air that say, oh, you know, as you make a donation, check with your company. They may have a corporate match. So that's just kind of a marketing plan of something that we can do. And that would be one of those things that as we work through the budget and as we work through projections and we have a plan with just a couple of quick PSAs on a corporate match program, then hopefully we can fill in those numbers as we go through the upcoming year with a corporate match. So that could be a increase in revenue right there. Major donor income, we're still kind of in a point where we are trying to determine what actually a major donor is. We have plugged in just, you know, roughly as an annual for the movement going forward, a major donor income of $25,000, that's going through. That may be more of a grant income, but on the national level and just Pacifica in general, we need a better clarification as to what a major donor is. So I'm just kind of explaining some things too as to what we're doing on our side. In a lot of the budgets, major donors are listed as, there's usually a little parenthesis and it says donors that make, you know, with more than $1,000. So on my side, when I'm looking at it, is that a one-time gift? Is that an accumulation of gifts? What is the benefit of being a major donor? Besides the goodwill, is there something that we can provide major donors that are an incentive to get to that level? If someone is giving, $100, over, you know, they've pledged $100 a year. Do we immediately put them into a major donor because at the end of the year, they're going to be $1,000? What if somebody gives $500 and then they randomly give another $500? Do we then pull that from listener support and put it in major income? For our tax purposes, we don't have to report who our major donors are as far as lists and their gifts for taxes unless it's $5,000 or over. So we at the on the National Finance Committee, this has been brought up, and just internally ourselves, we're trying to determine what actually constitutes a major donor. So although we have money that is in that line item, because there has been money that is budgeted as a major donor before, it isn't really necessarily something that we still need a definition of. If you look at major donor income for March of 2024, you see for KPFK that there's a $200,000 gift. That was from a bequest. So we don't budget bequests because you don't know, obviously, if someone is going to pass away. So you can't anticipate on that funding. Should that be listed as a major donor line? No. Personally, it should be listed as a bequest. But we don't have that line item in this budget. That was at one in the budget form that is, you know, in this budget itself. So that might be, you know, that might be something we just have to add another line so we can make note as we look at our budget, you know, in 2026 or 2027, when we start looking back at the budgets and you see these columns like here with C and D of what we did in the past. Someone may say, well, what's that $200,000 for? And then we go into a 15 to 20 minute discussion on some committee as to, I don't know what that money was, because maybe there isn't anybody around that can explain it. So we want to be able to move that down to a bequest line. But generally, we do not budget bequests. I know there are some stations that do, and they have, but we are not having them do that anymore. Even if they know that every year they roughly get $100,000 in bequests, we cannot rely on bequests, and we cannot budget bequests. We can promote bequests and encourage people to remember Pacifica in their will, but again, we don't budget it. This donations line, we're removing that pretty much completely from the budgets because all of these are donations, so hence it's blank. There's really no reason to be there. Car donations, KPFK does a great job with car donations. You really do. And they're, on average based upon, you know, I know the budgets or donations were received from October here in columns E through, H, October through January 2024. It's listed as blank. I know that car donations most likely came in during that time, but they probably weren't coded where they needed to be when they were first input as revenue on KPFK side. So they would show up in listener support. But once we got that coding down and better access to Allegiance, then we were able to adequately code them where they needed to be on KPFK side when the money came in. So you're averaging, you know, we guesstimated based upon the average of those 3 months, February, March, and April, assuming there'll be about $8,000 in car donations. Just to be on the safe side, it was dropped down to $6,500 for fiscal year 2025. But if we're comfortable in bringing that back up to an average of $8,000, because we'll maybe do more advertising, more marketing of that within the station, then, you know, we can easily raise that up. But again, we're just having a conservative event or conservative plan. Myla raised her hand.
Oh, thank you. This feels like it might be a silly question. But I know that we have a lot of volunteers who've been providing extraordinary services for the station in terms of helping with the transmitter and the transition to the new studio. I'm wondering how we handle in-kind donations. Do we actually provide people? I imagine it's not in the budget, but do we credit people with in-kind donations? Or not?
It's not in the budget. If someone gives an in-kind gift, with time, it's different. And I can look up the IRS ruling. I have it in my phone. I just have to pull it up. Regarding time, if the job is a job that is being done because there isn't it isn't a paid position that would be doing it, then it can be considered an in-kind, gift of time from the IRS standpoint. And you can't write it off as a tax write-off, but you can state that you have an in-kind workforce doing blank number of hours, and the reason they're doing it is that we don't have a paid position to do that. So with, you know, the Michael, perfect example. So that's more of a tax reason. If for tax purposes on our side, we don't budget any in-kind support. I like to see it on paper in general. So I would like to see a line item that has in-kind support just for our own eyes. So we can see this is the amount of in-kind, and it could be an easy, you know, with the personnel cost, it can be it's budgeted as a personnel cost, but then as the revenue, it could be budgeted technically under personnel cost line 16, for example. We could budget it, have a little another row after that. That would be like personnel, in-kind personnel. So we could divide that up and budget it as a revenue and then immediately delete it as an expense and list it as in-kind personnel. Because I think it's extremely important for all of the stations and the national board and the finance committee to see how much of a benefit and a sacrifice the stations are doing when they have volunteer staff. And to just kind of write it off as, oh, we've got five general managers. But then to be able to say, yeah, but, you know, we have two of them that are, been working, you know, well over a year at no charge. There is a benefit to that. And I think it's not only just the benefit to the station, but it needs to be recognized of the sacrifice and the money saving that the station is doing because of that.
Stephanie, that's
good. Yeah, so I want to be able to plug that in because it just kind of gets brushed aside, you know.
Yeah, so, that's good. You have a question from Michael Heiss as well.
Yes.
Michael? Yeah, just along the same lines, and not to belabor the point, but traditionally when you think of in-kind donations, if you go to a manufacturer of some equipment that you need and they say, what the heck, we'll give you a Class A Blavet. Mm-hmm. And that to them does become a tax deduction because they're donating something, but it's a physical thing rather than a monetary thing, or in the part of the people and, you know, having been very peripherally involved with it, the people that are donating, physical materials, you can't predict it and budgetize it, but does that fit into this scheme in the truer sense of in-kind for physical, materials rather than, by a person's time?
Yes, and tax acknowledgement letters are sent out to individuals that provide in-kind donations of a product or a service, more so much a product, but they can do it as a service. But all we can do is with the tax letter is say, thank you for your in-kind donation of, you know, 25 folding chairs. We greatly appreciate blah, blah, blah. You put in the WIRA tax ID. Please work with your tax consultant or your tax attorney on the donation and how you move with your taxes moving forward. So we can't put a dollar value to it. They put their own dollar value to it and they deal with it on their end with their tax consultant or their tax attorney. And that isn't a rule that we make up. That's just the general rule with in-kind donations. Because you can get, I used to work for the LA Phil, and we would get people that would want to donate a violin, and they would say, you know, my kid learned on this violin. It means so much. It's valued at, you know, $4,000 when technically it was maybe a $300 violin. you know, and we couldn't really do anything with it because our, you know, the people that played violins in the concert hall were, you know, the violins would be brought into the, Walt Disney concert hall with a Brinks truck. So, I mean, so we don't want to place a value, a dollar value on something when it's up to the person that's making the donation to have that dollar value. And it's up to them to prove to the IRS what that is. So we do handle that, but it's not budgeted, but it definitely is recognized.
Thank you, Stephanie and Michael. Mm-hmm. Michael Novick has a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a question really, it's a comment. If people want to see the dollar value of the unpaid management and other staff that we have, you can compare the payroll cost and the actuals from the previous fiscal year to the current one. And you'll see that we've reduced the payroll expense dramatically. So that's an unpaid interim general manager, an unpaid interim program director, an unpaid interim operations manager, and people taking up the task of traffic coordinator that is no longer a filled position, and a volunteer coordinator and so on. So there's a major financial savings that basically made a difference between being in the red and in the black.
Very much so. So just to highlight on the screen what Michael just talked about, if you look at the personnel costs, and this is again a general, it's broken down more so down below. But if you look at the personnel costs here in item in row 16, in fiscal year 2022, there was a personnel cost of $1.1 million. I'm just generalizing and rounding. And then in fiscal year 2023, $846,000. And then as we go across, we can see even a decrease in salaries as it has gone through, with the total projection for the end of this fiscal year is $751,000. So that is a substantial decrease. And even as we have projected out, it's projected again conservatively. But again, we can change this as we adjust and make adjustments for the fiscal year for 2025. The budget is approved as the projection and the assumptions. And then it is a living working document as we go through the year. It's projected to be $627,508. And again, hopefully we can make adjustments. Hopefully we can get to a point at KPFK where we have a paid general manager and we have a program director that's paid, and we're able to, you know, slowly bring in some of these individuals that we need, you know, to continue to make the station running and to, you know, thank and give, of course, pay to the people that are doing this work. We don't have any money really that is put in for community events. There are community events that the station has done. It is right now, I think, being just put in under listener support when it's really not. So we need to get a better grasp, honestly, on how that income is listed on the budget when it comes in. And to also make sure that when we have a community event, that we also have down below with the expenses for that community event. So we just need to keep better track on that. And those in particular are when we have a lot of in-kind gifts and in-kind donations to those events. So that would be the same thing that down in the revenue or in the expense line, we have the expenses, but we could also have with the revenue with community events, a little note or justifications. I'm big on justifications for budgets that answer a lot of questions, is that we have on that side, this community event would have its own budget that would then say, this was what we projected for expenses. You know, we needed, you know, whatever, $300 for the DJ, but then we have a revenue in the expense line. We have a reduction of $300 because the DJ did it for free. So we need to be able to keep track of that, not only just for the sake of our budgeting purposes, so we know how much an actual community event costs and how much it actually raises, but then also what the actual cost would be if we didn't have all of these in-kind donations. We were very conservative in the world of grants. There has been some grant funding. I know that has come in, but it's not really coded this way. So again, this is one of those things we just need to get in and get a better grasp as to how things are coded when the revenue comes in. There were no grants that were coded that were there in 2022. There was a $26,384 grant, which is kind of an odd number for a grant in 2023. So I'd have to get the kind of the details on that. Nothing has been budgeted or projected out for this fiscal year, but we are projecting grants just to, again, very conservatively for 2025 of just $5,000. And again, that's just a placeholder to kind of remind us that we do need to enter that grant world. And we have had success at some of the other stations with grants. We just got a $10,000 grant at WPFW, a $15,000 grant for training reporters that is going to be for a that we got through the affiliate program, and we are going to be training some young reporters that will be helping us cover the conventions, both the DNC and the RNC conventions, and we'll be putting out some national programming utilizing some local reporters on the ground and some of the reporters that we have across the state, across our network, and we'll be putting together some national programming covering those conventions, and that will be completely grant supported as well.
Rachel Brunke has a question.
Mm-hmm.
Hi, thank you. Hi, Stephanie. So great.
Hi.
Yeah, just to really encourage that community events, item, you know, that, cause before the last budget that I saw, there was, allocation under that, and it showed really a trend, in the increase of community events and funding from community events, which is really kind of a funding model that I know Michael is highlighting and that I think, and probably a lot of us think, is really important. It means we're getting out into the community, which is the whole purpose of this also. It also is a way to show that maybe people, like I know the Spanish community does a lot of community events, and so that their work and their income should be, you know, highlighted from that. So I encourage that to be worked on.
Like 100%, I agree, because I know there have been successful community events that KPFK has held, including some film screenings. I know we've worked on trying to have a couple of house parties, quote unquote, where we can get individuals that go in. And those are a great opportunity to get people together, even if it's, you know, meet and greet with our programmers, because programmers in the outside world of the world of Pacifica, people want to meet them. They want to see the faces behind the voices. They tune in because of the people that are on the air. So it's a great opportunity to be able to, you know, hold some of those events. Rodrigo's hand is up.
Rodrigo's hand. Go ahead, Rodrigo.
Okay. That's one of the things that the Spanish language programming here at KPFK, we've been doing tons of community events, like, you know, big tocadas, you know, like, you know, punk. We work with many youth organizations and community organizations. Like this month, we got two community events that, you know, but we don't ask for any money or anything. We pay everything and then, you know, we recover. But, you know, what we do need is more promotion for, especially like if we do events, we need to promote events during the day. And also, if one of the major activities of the people who join the local station board is to raise funds, I mean, it's very little that, you know, that we do, you know, for the events, even when we announce it, right? So that's one thing. And the other thing is that what this month we have two, okay? One is like, for a community garden, you know, kind of, you know, cultural event. Mm-hmm. And the other one is, an event of a youth, putting out a concert.
Rodrigo, that's your time for now. Let her answer it. Okay. You can come in later.
Well,
if you want.
I just want to finish something, you know. The other issue that she was talking is the issue of training. Okay. We do have that program, you know, in place in case that some people want to join and, get, you know, knowledgeable and do that. Some of the members of the association that we have do the trainings every week, you know, I mean, but since we lost the place, we're not doing it. But that one is something that we have a program, you know, on an ongoing program all the time. That's it.
Thank you, Rodrigo.
And this is a perfect example because I know that you do community events and I know that KPFK holds a lot of them. But from our standpoint, when we're just looking at flat numbers, you know, we put on the spreadsheet the numbers and the coding that we receive. So when that income comes in, how is it being coded? So we'll make some phone calls on our side as to how is the income from your community event being coded when it gets put into the bank or the budget or Allegiance, however they're coding it, Great Plains, whatever it is that the money is, how is the money being coded when it enters into the station? And with any sort of community event, not to add any extra work on anybody's plate, but we do need a budget for that. Even if it's something that is being done completely for free and everybody is donating their time, quick budget, even if it's sketched on a piece of paper, what would be the cost if we had to rent that space? What would be the cost if we had to pay for the music or pay for the food? So we can get a general idea of this is what the cost of the program of or that event would be. This is all the in-kind that should just balance it out completely that we've received for free. Therefore, the net revenue of this event is this. And we wouldn't have made that revenue unless we had all of these in-kind donations and time from volunteers. So when there is a community event, we do need to know those details. Even when there's, you know, sometimes people have asked to try to do a program or pitch a program, or we're just going to do the whole thing for free. You are doing it for free, but there is a cost associated with it. Again, we can balance out that revenue and balance out those expenses. But we need to know kind of what that cost would be in order to then, if anything, go out and say, look, we've done this great event. The cost of it would have been $15,000. We had in-kind donations that covered all $15,000. Therefore, all of it was free. Pure profit of what we made. And then it's easier for us to even be able to go out and get donors, get sponsors, get something for future events because we have a history of being able to put together great events that raise money that are completely expense free because we have donated services and donated in kind. So I would just kind of look at, we'll work on it on our side as well. But when that income goes into KPFK, just kind of be able to follow through to ask how is it being coded and let them know at the station that this was a community event. This was the revenue. These were the expenses. And then we can have a clear picture as to what those were because this line should not be blank.
Thank you, Stephanie.
Broken should not be blank.
Before we go to Nikki, I just want to say we're about halfway through your time. How are we doing from your perspective? Are we going to get to the end of this or
will get through the end of this. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I think a lot of the expenses.
Thank you. Nikki, go ahead with your question.
Thank you, Stephanie. I was wondering if you have like a, maybe some kind of budget template that we could have so that when these events happen, I mean, I know you said we could just write it on a piece of paper, but maybe if there's some kind of budget template sheet so that people can see like what some things that they may not have thought of to put in there, like all the things you mentioned.
Yes.
That would be.
Yes. I can easily do that because we also, with some of the events as well to make sure that we have insurance in place, we can get 1-day waivers for extra liability insurance. So those are the kind of things that we need to take into consideration. So right. I will definitely send something out.
Great question. A good follow up on Rodrigo's.
Briefly, I think part of the issue is because we do not have a local business manager. And so, we've reported some of this, but it doesn't just, there's a big burden on the membership department to try to code all that if there's nobody really assigned that responsibility of that kind of budgeting. Their responsibilities are really dealing with the membership donations and following up. So, we've had these events. We have reported the in-kind. But I don't think there is a, not having a local business manager and somebody who is on top of Great Plains locally, I think has been a problem in terms of getting it coded and put in the budget documents.
100% agree. Sponsorship income too. Right now the line is blank, even though there was sponsorship income in 2022 with $1,450. This is row 12. I know that there have been some underwriting and sponsorship dollars that have come in. Again, this is the same thing where it hasn't really been coded correctly as it goes in. And I agree with Michael, we're working on trying to get to some more full-time or at least part-time support of a business manager at the station to help relieve the burden from the membership department. So knowing that we do have an active underwriting committee at KPFK and that we do, you know, people are going through a lot of sponsorship training right now through the FCC that we're wanting to do. It's been extremely helpful. We hope that this is another line item as we project forward for the budget that we can fill in what we anticipate we would be able to get from underwriting and community sponsorship. So again, right now it's blank, but that's a great opportunity to be able to increase that revenue in the back end. So the final amount that we have for the projected revenue for the end of total for this current fiscal year is $1,276,952. Our projected revenue for the budget 20 ending year 2025 is $1,283,212. So it's, you know, this is where it's just a slight increase really to $1,276 to $1,283. But I think we can increase that. I really, really do because we have this, we can add the sponsorship income. We have community events income. I think we can also increase that grant item income and, you know, more than happy to help support with that. Major donor income, again, not too sure where, what that is, but we'll get a better justification on that. So I think right now it's very, obviously a very, very conservative increase in revenue based upon the projections for the end of this fiscal year. But I think we can increase that, even more. As we go down to the expenses, as Michael said, I call them 16 or row 16, the personnel costs have decreased significantly, and they are decreasing in the following year, but I would rather see that increase a little bit again so we can pay people the wages that they deserve and hopefully be able to get some paid staff back on board. The 17 is blank, which is the board LSB expenses. Administrative expenses, there has been an increase in the administrative expenses because unfortunately we have rent. You know, right now because of the move, we do have rent. And I'll go down to the bar, the where it breaks down. I'm scrolling down. So these are the admin expenses. Some of these consultant expenses that we've had and are projected out throughout the year, it hasn't really been coded, but we do have when we do have some of the volunteers that we are covering some of their expenses or giving them a small stipend, or we have our engineer that's been coming, our national engineer that's been coming out to help with a lot of the move, that is a consultant expense. I don't think that this should be the projection of $2,000 per month moving forward. I don't know if that really needs to be that high. I have to look back to kind of see on the actuals why all of a sudden consultants' expenses were stopped from January, February, March, and April. Are they being coded someplace else? So that's what we need to take a close look at. But just kind of based upon the average of what was spent in October, November, and December, it averaged out to about $2,000, again, being conservative, and we just mapped that out throughout the rest of the year for the next year budget as well, having a total consultant fee of $24,000. That may not be there. Again, that may be something that we can adjust as we look at the actuals and how they're coded moving forward. Some of these basic expenses remain the same. Our telephone expenses, total, you know, averaging $2,251 a month. So we've just spread that out again as projections for the end of the fiscal year and then spread that out again throughout our projections for the following fiscal year. Internet cable, the same thing, averaged, you know, sometimes 375, sometimes 384, 765. I'm sure that was the higher numbers here of 1,144 or 736, which was row I and row K, most likely were payment of past due bills. So we just averaged it out to 400 for the remainder of the year. And then the same thing moving forward to the following fiscal year. Where we have expenses, a lot of these other things are pretty basic, delivery, messenger, legal fees, those kind of things. We don't have any storage facility, but where we have, of course, the expenses that are now brand new to us are the rent and the office expenses. So obviously we've had nothing in that for 22, 23, and for October through February, but we did start incurring rent in March 2024. Now, this rent amount of $5,106 covers the two office spaces that we have in Glendale, and then we added a third larger space to help offset and give extra space for the membership department for storage of anything that we may need, because we don't want to rent a storage facility and then put stuff in storage and just kind of lose sight of it, and then a year or 2 years go by and we're just paying for junk. So we want to just keep the stuff we want to store in sight to make sure we want it and to house the archives. So we need to determine that if it's a, and then the archives are also going to have another facility out in Signal Hill. But if we have, you know, a half of the room that's dedicated to the archives, then we will pull a half of that rent from that larger room and budget it to the archives. So even though we are working now on the WPFW budget, I want to work simultaneously with the archives budget, because some of the expenses that have, that KPFK have incurred, which have been budgeted out or assumed out on this budget, will be pulled out and will be put in the archive department. So this rent expense will decrease slightly, because the archives needs to share and cover the cost of some of those expenses. So right now, again, it's $5,106. We're anticipating and knowing that we will be in that location for at least next year. So we do have that increase of $61,272 projected as expense for the rest of the fiscal year, and then adding the additional $35,742 projected out for this year. Michael?
Yeah, thanks, Stephanie. I wanted to ask one thing. Let me start the clock on myself there, sorry. I wanted to ask one thing before you left the income, and I realize this may be a sensitive subject that you can't discuss, but there was nothing there to show any flow down from the sale proceeds. Does that get covered elsewhere? Or does that just not factor in, or is all that money going to the foundation for its own purposes, rather than, you know, is there anything where that will help, show his income to KPFK? That's item number one. Item number two, down where you are now, the insurance and interest lines are blank, and I'm sure that, you know, there's money that has to be spent there. Particularly, we, you know, we could get away without insurance for a while, you know, with the building. But now that we're in a rental facility, I presume we have to have insurance and interest for sure. And one last one, at the risk of sounding like I'm channeling a former LSB member, it will be helpful to see a bank that, excuse me, hey, you're laughing already and I haven't even said it yet, a balance sheet to accompany this so that, you know, you can put everything together just to see where things are going. Thanks.
An income statement was sent out to everyone October through October 2023 to April 2023 of an income statement. So would that be, so that might be helpful with the balance sheet.
All right.
And bank statements, you know, I don't have a problem.
I don't have a problem either sharing bank statements.
You know, so I can easily, I have no problem sharing bank statements with everybody. I can easily pull that too. But and then the insurance, any sort of renter's insurance, I believe we already have renter's insurance. The national office covered a lot of that already. So the liability insurance or the casualty insurance that we have, the national office covered that as well.
That's a central service thing that doesn't show down in this. That's why those lines are blank.
Yeah, because the national office paid for that because we're not getting central services. And so we cover the cost of that. As far as a spend down, this is where it gets tricky too, because WPFW is moving. And so we have in the budget a separate column that's just moving expenses. So we have our normal expenses, and then I have a separate column that's moving expenses and moving revenue, because they're doing fund drives just for the move. And then we're going to have the expenses underneath. So that is probably something we'll have to do for this, is cover those moving expenses. And then yes, with the spend down, I have allocated, and again, it just sort of keeps, you know, it's the money that has been being allocated on paper, and it will be allocated, but the sale hasn't taken, you know, escrow hasn't closed yet until July. There is money that is being allocated to KPFK and the archives, and it will reimburse them for these expenses that they're already incurring. Because when we signed the lease for the building, we anticipated that escrow was going to be closing prior to us, or I think it was just like maybe a few weeks after the sign in, you know, the signing of the lease. So they are incurring expenses that they shouldn't be incurring and they will be reimbursed. So I had roughly estimated, and again, it just kind of keeps closing, but I mean, it's changing with that part is really not fluctuating too much, is that I have moving costs and build out so far. It's again, just a draft, but I have for moving costs and build out of the new location, which we've already done, is of $150,000. And then I had anticipated approximately $36,000 just for KPFK storage, but I really would rather not rent a storage facility. So that money can then be used to help offset some of these other expenses and reimburse them for the rent. I have roughly $52,000 for temporary office space and miscellaneous operational. So that's too low based upon what the rent actually is. So I would move the $36,000 that I had budgeted for KPFK storage, the $52,000 that I had budgeted for miscellaneous temp office space, which those two equal $88,800. So then that would be closely, roughly about $100,000 for rental, and then $150,000 for moving costs. So that right there is, you know, can help offset some of these expenses that have already occurred.
Tataka, can I just throw one more thing in? And we are about halfway through this. It's 12 up. Can I ask one more quick question?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't see anything in here. And again, I realize that this is, you know, clearly a lot of cogs moving around for either contribution to Perish the Thought or ability to withdraw from, and that's why I was thinking more in terms of balance sheet than bank statements, for a reserve fund, for example, would there be a line item that says either rainy day fund or of the cash that's coming in, we know that we've got to set up a fund, which I guess becomes an expense because sometime in the next millennium we're going to need a new transmitter and we want to try and begin to reserve for those major expenses, X the move in, move back. You know, I just didn't see that reflected here. And I know that you're all thinking about that, but I'm just curious as looking through the budget. That's one thing that really sticks in your mind is, you know, one day we're going to need it and are we saving for it? And where's the, you know where I'm going.
Exactly. And I would love to be able to have a reserve fund and have a rainy day fund. Most nonprofits have 6 months of a reserve just in case something happens. So I would ultimately love to be able to get to that place where
was there one is long gone.
Where we are building a reserve. Based upon the based upon the draft budget that I have, and it's got the columns just keep growing because it's adjusting. I have a balance left over from the proceeds of the sale of the building, which is again $2 million. I have money that is set aside for moving and the temp relocation, which, you know, I also have to take the PRA into consideration, but I have an average, and again, this is just a draft budget, hence why it has not been released because we're still working on it, of roughly $448,000, which is going to be for the moving and temporary relocation costs. Other costs that I have are paying for the audit, our taxes that need to be done, paying off allegiance, paying for the upcoming elections, paying off past due bills of the Radio Research Consortium, which is our sort of equivalent to Nielsen ratings, and some of the general past due bills that are focused on bills that are due from KPFK, including the electric bill for the LA Department of Water and Power, which we have put in the budget as just kind of a, you know, like making payments, but that's only a guesstimation if they're open and willing to have us do that. So the bills that I have to be paid off are bills that are focused on KPFK. Of course, Allegiance, the highest bill with Allegiance, one of the bills with Allegiance is with KPFK. We are making payments to them. The audit, of course, is not KPFK specific, but it is company wide. We do have some company-wide bills on the national office with Allegiance, and the elections, of course, benefit everybody, as well as Radio Research Consortium. But the past due bills for Radio Research Consortium For example, a rough lease, KPFK owes about $8,000. So just some of those past due bills, I have roughly about $400,000. There are some legal bills that we have. I'm trying to kind of pay as little as I can against some of those. Our FCC attorneys, we pay them first, and we are caught up with some of those payments, and we are incurring some more fees with them based upon the FCC issue that we're dealing with and the consent decree. But those direct bills are being covered by WBAI. But I had roughly budgeted, and this is where I have some legal wiggle room, about $175,000 in legal fees. The past due payments for the loans that we have, what I'm planning on doing is getting and I've talked with FJC about this, one of our loan holders, is getting the proceeds from the sale of the building and put it in an interest-bearing account at FJC. I was going to put it in a restricted escrow account, which we did with the sale of the KPFT building as well. But we're going to put the funds in a escrow account at FJC. We're working with them. They recommended putting it in an investment account. Makes perfect sense. So we'll be getting interest off of that $2 million or less, some of the expenses that they'll be holding. We will pay off the past due interest payments that we owe to FJC. We will pay off the past due interest payments for the Small Business Association. They will have secure future interest payments, both FJC and SBA, because I don't want to get behind on those. And then they will also have the money in the account that is raising interest for us. And then we will submit to them the invoices of things and the amount of money that we need projecting forward for the next month. And they will send us a check to cover those invoices. The exact same thing we did with the proceeds of the sale from KPFT.
Okay.
So all of those things in place, we have a wiggle room of about $350,000 left over from the proceeds of the sale of the building. Do we use some of those to cover some of the, you know, additional expenses that we've already paid from the sale of the building? Do we set that aside and put $100,000 of it aside because we know we're going to be moving back in? Do we try, you know, down the road? Do we plan on doing a fundraiser just for the proceeds of the move? I think we should do a capital campaign for the work that needs to be done on the tower. So those are the things that we hope that the LSB will be able to, you know, brainstorm with us to determine the best use of these funds, the best use of a capital campaign, and to ultimately get to the point where we do have a reserve. So I hope that answers some of those questions.
Thank you. And Michael Novick, and then I have a quick question.
I mean, I'd say a couple of the same things. We did have some beginning discussion about both a major donor campaign that Mike Bressel is involved in and a capital campaign. And I do think that we have to think very seriously about the move back, because we learned a lot of lessons from the move out of things that needed to be much more in place than we had them. And so when we move back, it's going to be the same thing. We'll have to put a major investment into technology to install back at 3729 Coinga Boulevard, where, remember, we will be rent-free for a decade when we get back. So we do want to take advantage of that. But there's going to be some major costs associated with the move back in once it happens, and I think we have to have some funds for that. Thank you.
Okay, Stephanie, you talked about... Do you want to brainstorm with the LSB? What would that look like, and what time frame?
Well, the escrow has been extended to July 8th. And that was to give us more time to remove the liens from the building. I'm making, better strides than we had for the past few months, with the two loan holders or the lien holders. And so we are confident that they're going to, one of them at least will be removed, the FJC. We're in the process of doing that now. So that should be done within the next couple of weeks. It would be whatever you guys would want to work out. You know, everybody would want to work out. I don't know where the best, brainstorming in the world of committees sometimes.
Yeah. A Zoom thing or a personal meeting or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, let's be in touch on that.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. But, you know, as again, we're just kind of so where we have that, again, significant increase in our expenses is with that rent. So that's a kick in the pants a little bit. So The utilities with the tower are very happy and pleased that we ultimately finally paid off everything that was past due for our utilities bill. So it's again kind of averages out anywhere between 9,000, 12,000. Sometimes it's less than 12, sometimes it's less than 9. So we just kind of average it out here as 9,000. But again, as we start putting in, I'm on row 83, as we start putting in the actuals throughout the year, because you can see the actuals were down to 6,300, 6,800 for March and April. So we did project out on the high end for the remaining parts of the months. But again, even as we budget moving forward and look at the budget, we're going to adjust the budget. It's a living document as we move into the next fiscal year. Again, we just need to approve the upcoming fiscal year budget so we can have a guideline as to what we're doing. Everything else is pretty basic. No direct mail costs, credit card fees. I mean, all of that is pretty basic. Doesn't really change much. Postage, you know, it's all pretty much the same. Premiums from PRA, that's a blank line 96, but I think that there probably should be some numbers in there because we do get premiums from the archives. And that is one thing that I am encouraging the archives department during this next 2 years of the move is to really focus on creating premiums that are supplemental to the programming that we have and really working closely with our program directors and our general managers to make sure that the general public is getting the best use of our archives. So hopefully we'll be able to have some expense in there. Not that I'm looking for expenses, but then that will, of course, generate revenue up at the top.
Just to say, we just sent them, I think, close to $6,000 for.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So that's why, again, this needs to be, that wouldn't have shown up because we're working off of actuals. But again, now that we have the actuals from May, that will show up in the actuals from June. So again, this is the same thing as we project out to the end of this fiscal year, budgets are living documents. So we will adjust that accordingly. The premiums from other vendors we just again took the average of what has been there, and we have approximately 6,500. I don't know what this is. Why that one's? Is there a note in that? No, I'm not too sure why November of 2024 it's listed as why these are higher. Maybe that's based upon fund drive pledges or fund drive assumptions. I'll double check on that because the projection out for fiscal year 25 is November 2024, an expense of $17,000 in premiums, and then average is about $13,000. So I'll question as to what that is unless, you know, Michael or Terry may have better answers on that. And then the other ones are pretty much the same, either fund drive expenses, premium shipping expenses. Here we do have a few expenses for community events, projecting out $500 for those community events throughout the year. But if we, again, have expenses for community events, then we need to be able to have the revenue for the community events. So we need to be able to put that in there. So if you take a look, I'm sliding back to the top of just the general big picture.
Stephanie, I've got a question about the term premiums. Is there some it was my understanding that we have to be careful about the use of the term with respect to the with the FCC guidelines. Can you
you caught me because I was just reading the word premiums. We are changing our vocabulary to thank you gifts. KPFK has not had any problems in my world of providing the wording that is going out to our listeners is how it should be. Support the station, support community radio, donate to KPFK, and to thank you for your donation, we will send you this thank you gift. KPFK is doing a great job with that. When Michael came on board, he immediately started decreasing and getting rid of premium. Here I will use the word premium or product-based programming. And that is what has gotten us into now this agreement, thankfully a settlement agreement with the FCC. is that there have been some stations, not just WBAI, this was mostly focused on WBAI, but historically there have been stations and there are still some stations doing it, which is why we're stopping this, where they'll get a premium and that premium, and I'm using the word premium properly, or a product, and the whole program is based upon that product. So if you have, you know, somebody's donated 100 water bottles and then you base your entire 1 hour program selling, for lack of a better word, this water bottle. Give us $100, you're going to get this water bottle. Your $100 will support the station, but give us $100 and you can get this water bottle. That's where the problem lies. So you can't get your premium or a product and sell it for an hour. People are donating to the station. So it's really what we're doing with the training too, is trying to work with our producers and giving them the tools that they need. So if you got 100 water bottles, don't do a show on the benefit of the water bottles. Do a program that's about staying hydrated. Do a program about health. Do a program about water issues in California. Do a program about, you know, the drought, whatever it may be. And then you can say, if you like what you're hearing, you support community radio, let us get this news to you. Send us a gift of $100. And as a thank you, we'll send you a water bottle. So it's all a matter of just rethinking and doing your programming creatively and not basing it on a product. Is that the easy way to go? Yeah. Look at QVC. You can sell a water bottle for 5 hours. You know, it's fine, but we're not doing that. We're community radio. So that will tell me that in these budgets, I will remove the word premium and put in thank you gifts, because we do want to avoid that word. So thank you, Myla, for pointing that out.
Finally.
So in the big picture, I hid these columns. We have generally a revenue, if we look at it, our revenue, that is significant. We have a revenue projection of 1 million. Let me unhide these columns because now I try to make it simpler by oops. Okay. So as we look at the big picture, projecting out for the end of this fiscal year, we have a total expense. Where's our total revenue? I'm sorry, guys. Here we go. We have a total revenue of 1 million projections. Again, it can change. We have a projected revenue for the end of 2024 of $1,276,952. We have projected expenses of $1,413,855 for a net loss of $136,903. Well, we know already that we're going to be reimbursed some of those expenses for the move. We're going to be reimbursed, not some, all of the expenses for the move. We're going to be reimbursed expenses for rent. So right there, that's going to be able to decrease what that net loss is. We just have to get that money and then put it in as, and that's one of the things that Michael brought up in his email to me, is kind of like, how are we going to code that? So we will talk about, is that it's not really technically revenue, it's a reimbursement, so we'll probably have to add another line that, you know, so we'll figure that out on our end. So even though right now our projection is showing a loss of $136,903, that will be decreased significantly as we are reimbursed from the proceeds of the sale of the building.
So I have another question.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that we have been advised that it's best not to approve a deficit budget, even if you know that you will be reimbursed. Can you explain to us whether you believe that once the budget has been tweaked that it will no longer show as a deficit budget, or What is your advice with respect to approving a deficit budget?
It pains me to approve a deficit budget. I've never approved or done an approved deficit budget in any of my years at any nonprofit. We are told to go back to the drawing board and make it work. And if that means significant cuts, you know, that's what has to happen. So this is new to me in the world of Pacifica, but historically what it appears we've done so far is that we accept, or the National Finance Committee will accept the budget. Because honestly, I haven't been part of any LSB meeting where they accept or approve a budget. So this is the first one. I've presented the budgets, but not at that point where they're accepting or approving. In the National Finance Committee, they have accepted a deficit budget, but it hasn't been approved. So there's some statement that they will say. I'd have to look through, you know, somebody have to look through old minutes to find what it is. But it's like, we accept this budget, although it's a deficit, to be submitted to the PNB. And then when it's presented to the PNB, they're told that it is a deficit budget. It has been accepted, but it's not approved. But we need to be able to have some sort of guideline moving forward. So by the time this is accepted, by next month, the sale will be, you know, fingers crossed, completed. But I will add that column anyway as to how we will compensate and offset this deficit based upon revenue from the sale of the building. And then I will map out that revenue also in the next fiscal year. Does that help?
Oh, yes. Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you. I have a question, but I'll wait because you're answering them as we go. Michael is up and then.
No, I'm sorry. I know there are two Michaels. I just want to interject. You've got about 10 minutes left in this segment. My apologies.
Okay, great. Michael Novick.
Am I audible?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So briefly just to say that, the budget for this year that we're operating in was projected as a deficit budget. If you look at the income statement or the actuals through April, it shows us essentially just barely in the black for those 6 or 7 months of the current budget. The big problem is that we are paying the rent at this point. So without the rent, I think if you just projected the first 6 months onto the second, we might actually be slightly, on a theoretical level, it's in the black. It's not real because we have a lot of expenses that are booked on the previous fiscal years because we're paying the $3,000 a month on Southern California Edison and so on. So, you know, I think that in terms of Milo's question, I think there's a good prospect that we would be able to be in the black for the coming fiscal year, especially if those expenses around the rent are either apportioned differently. I think one possibility would be to consider that a credit towards the central services payments, which we haven't been making because we had to pay so many back bills. But if we applied the rent towards the central service, for example, it would just be a kind of a bookkeeping correction, let's say.
Correct. And that's one thing that, again, it's just kind of slipping through the cracks when the consolidated financials go out. KPFK in the first quarter was in the black. I don't know when the last time was that happened. You know, so that's one thing to be extremely proud of. Granted, the cash flow doesn't always match because we were paying back, you know, made a substantial payment to Allegiance. We've made substantial payments to get caught, you know, we paid off the tower power. I can put a word, but the power bills with that. We had a legal settlement that were paid off. We had severance packages that need to be paid, and we paid those off. So we're making significant dents in the amount of past due bills. And just as Michael was saying, here is the income statement that was from, and everybody got sent this as well. So this is the income statement from October through April. And when you look at the total expenses, let me get back to the total revenue. And again, these are based on the actuals. These aren't assumptions. So these were actuals with the, from this fiscal year to end of April. We had a total revenue of $846,952. We had the total expenses, $780,033, for a net income of $66,919. I don't know if we've been able to say net income and KPFK in the same line for a really long time. And this involves paying rent, doing tower repair, getting caught up on past due bills. You know, so that's a significant success story right there. So I just want to make sure we don't forget that.
Stephanie, thank you. And Michael, for bringing that up. That's a good, positive, hopeful note to end on at this point in time. I would love to cut it off now, but I want to give you a last chance to say something because I'm looking ahead and we're about 5 minutes behind. So if we get out of here 5 minutes early, we'll be on time. Go ahead, Stephanie. Any other comments?
Sue has her hand up, so we'll take that question.
Go ahead, Sue.
Oh, hey. As I've been preaching for many years, they, should pitch their show, the station, the network, and then mention the thank you gifts and stress to the listeners that this is a thank you gift, in appreciation of your donation and support, and what you're really supporting is the station and the show and the network. Thank you.
Thank you.
100%.
All right. Well, thank you so, thank you for your question, Sue, and thank you, or your comment, and thank you so much, Stephanie. We will be in touch as we work together to continue to move in a positive direction. And that is a hopeful sign. I wanted to ask, I guess there's no more questions right now. It's 12:26.
I just want to say that if Stephanie were Secretary of Treasury, the Pentagon wouldn't have lost $21 trillion. Thank you so much, Stephanie.
Well, I don't know if that's a recommendation work for the Pentagon, but in the government we want to see, it will be. So thank you.
Right now we're focusing on getting Pacifica turned around, which, you know, we will. That's my goal. My ultimate goal really is to just get us all self-sustaining, even if it's just a $5 profit each year, you know, all of the divisions. And then ultimately long-term, I would love to be able to add a Pacifica station to Chicago and Atlanta, you know, so I'm looking sort of, you know, get all this cleared up and then look big picture down the road. So that's my goal.
All right. Well, the next section is LSB Director's Reports. And so we have Michael Novick up for 5 minutes and then 10 minutes of Q&A. And then we're going to go to public comments. Now you're up, Michael.
Okay. So I did send people a long written report, and it's posted to the KPFK.org website. You have to look at blogs, and then there's one for the general manager. And I've been putting my monthly report up there. A lot of it is a little bit redundant to what you heard. We have been working on trying to get, we did finally succeed in getting KPFK back on TuneIn. We're working on the translator up at Santa Barbara. It has been off the air. There's a problem with the placing and the size of the antenna there. Unfortunately, Stuart Landau has had some medical difficulties, but as soon as he's better, he and Ian Scott are going up there to fix that. We're working on getting KPFK and actually also KPFA on the Echo platform. It's like Alexa Play KPFK. Ian Scott's been working on that. We did the 24-hour radio marathon broadcast Radio Free Palestine, and I've been putting out flyers at various of the rallies, letting people know that KPFK has done that and has a lot of other programming of relevance to people. A couple of things we're planning for this fund drive. Extinction Rebellion is working on the broadcast of a performance of An Enemy of the People on Broadway in Times Square. It's a public performance because there was an XR action there, No Broadway and a Dying Planet. And so that will have some major celebrity figures in it. We're planning to do a preemption of a few shows on, not this Wednesday, but the coming Wednesday. And thank you to Mylon Harvey for agreeing to that. So it's going to be 3 hours, from, taking the place of, Lawyers Guild, XR Now and, California Philotopia, with these performances incorporated with, information about the climate crisis, what people can do about it. We've also been talking with IMRU, which is celebrating its 50th anniversary. This is obviously Pride Month, and it's also the 55th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion that, you know, people see as the launch of the modern gay liberation movement in the U.S. So we're thinking about trying to do some special programming during the drive for that as well. We are working on other streams of revenue. We have signed up with something called Hungry Friend, which is you can register a credit card. And then if you dine at hundreds of restaurants that are signed up with it, a portion of your bill is donated to KPFK. It's similar to like the frequent flyer mile programs or loyalty programs where you get miles. In this case, you would, you know, the benefit is that you're supporting the station. We're looking into Good Search also. They've changed their format dramatically, and I'm in touch with them trying to figure out how we can connect with that. They have some kind of, process that you have to go through to be registered with them. They used to do something called Good Shop. They don't seem to be doing it anymore, but they now have something called Good News, which apparently is a source of, you know, positive news reports, some of which are, you know, you wouldn't think of as positive, but have to do with like FBI, findings against corporate, skullduggery. So it seems to be kind of very much in line with the Pacific Commission. So I've inquired as to whether we could make, get access to some of their reports. To reiterate what, Rodrigo said, the Spanish language programmers have two community events this month, one of which is this Saturday at the El Sereno Community Gardens. And, I have encouraged all the programs to think about community events. We have, a connection with something called the Taproot Foundation that provides pro bono assistance. And I'm working with someone that they provided or put us in touch with on social media promotion. And we have an intern who will be coming in starting on Monday that I think, she'll be able to work, in concert with that project. But, I've asked the programmers and I'll ask the board as well. If you know people who are proficient with, Canva or other design programs or willing to put some time into that, I think we need develop a very active program of social media promotion and content provision to attract new listeners. I'll probably stop there. You know, it's a much longer report and it's too much detail to go into. Again, I would thank all the people who have, we're working on, Marlena Bondage is the interim program director and I are trying to work on putting together a program council with some staff members and some people from governance and listeners. And hopefully we'll have some progress to report on that by next month.
All right. Thank you, Michael. Wow, terrific. All right, next on the agenda is 10 minutes of Q&A for LSB members with a 60-second maximum per member. So have at it. Questions for Michael from our LSB community.
I just have a question. This is Rachel.
And I'd like
Hi, just cede my time. Could talk maybe, Michael, about how to increase, what are some of your ideas about increasing community events and, you know, the politics and the culture behind that?
Well, as I say, I've asked all the programmers to think about doing some off-air events, community events for the station, similar to what the Spanish language programs have been doing steadily. And, you know, we did have a number of events this year. We did a peace activist program at the church in Culver City that raised quite a bit of money and, you know, had, I think, interesting discussion with people. I'm interested in seeing if we can revive the film club. I did have some conversations with the last person who worked on it for us. And, you know, previously it used to be that they were almost monthly or more frequent film screenings that the station did. And then it kind of devolved into being just tickets made available to listeners for the run of the show. And then, you know, the pandemic struck and, you know, people weren't going to movie theaters that much. So, I think that might be something else to look at. I talked some with people at the Labor Community Strategy Center, Voices for the Frontlands, because they have a small theater space actually on Martin Luther King and Crenshaw to see if we could, you know, begin to do like a regular film series. So I think there are a lot of possibilities there for events, that, you know, similar to what we discussed earlier, where the cost would be very minimal and the proceeds would mainly go to support the station.
Great.
Other long-term project I've been talking to people about, I have to find a project manager. My proposal is that we would do in late fall a independent bookstores and independent publishers fair, you know, kind of be a small-scale version of like the LA Times Festival of Books. So we would, you know, bring in local booksellers and do a program. And I think we could try to make that a month, an annual event. And it would be in the, you know, kind of the season when people are buying books. And so, you know, the advantage would be that people go to one place and see a lot of independent book sellers, bookstores, publishers, you know, poet, and so on. So, but again, it's got to, we need somebody who, you know, kind of jump on it now and spend the next 4 or 5 months putting it together. If there's anybody on the board interested in doing that, I'll put it out again in the dispatch and see. We are, you know, getting some more volunteers. King Riley is serving now as the unpaid volunteer coordinator, and we have the email address functioning, volunteer@kpfk.org.
We have two more LSB members with questions.
Thank you. Thank you, Michael. Harvey, you're up. Harvey Wasserman, Sogo. And then Jane Goodman.
Hi, I just want to note what a fabulous meeting this is. Thank you so much for talking. Really great to be in a civilized meeting at KPFK. I wondered that, very briefly, Michael and Stephanie, if we have any kind of a dialogue with the people who are redoing the building, if they have considered and if we can suggest that they consider solarizing the building as they redo it. I went up on the roof a couple of years ago and took a brief assessment of what it would take. It's not all that solar friendly, but we do have a clear shot at the roof, and it would take quite a lot of work. But if we have any interplay with the folks and to make that suggestion, I do have people in the business who could certainly give them appraisals. It would be doable in maybe not 100%, but we could get substantial solar gain off that roof, and there are a number of other, and certainly the water, and there may be another number of other things we could do to put it into a solartopian showpiece, let's put it that way.
Good idea. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, you know, there was actually a capital campaign a number of years ago to solarize the building, and they came a cropper. I'm not sure. They felt there was too much shadowing from the hillside behind us. I think we could look at it again. They ended up having to either return the money or ask people if the money could be used to other purposes and release it. But there had been a separate account for quite a long time to solarize the building, and it didn't work. So, you know, I think there's more technology now. Maybe, you know, you could have rotating. You know, I think if there were the kind of panels that rotate around and catch the sun at every different angle. So I think we could look into that, and also, you know, maybe even covering the parking lot so that it could have, you know, panels on top of it as well. The other thing I would say in terms of moving back, we need to talk to them in general about what we're moving back into and how that space is going to be organized for us. So
you do have to have that discussion. Thanks, Michael. Follow up, Harvey.
Yeah, the technology is definitely advanced, and that's great to hear. And at very least, they could do water. And the roof is a mess because of a lot of obsolete AC, HVAC stuff. But anyway, if there's dialogue with them, I do have people. Thank you so much.
Great. Thanks, Harvey. Jan Goodman and then Carlos. You're still muted, Jan.
Thank you very much for reminding me. Okay. A couple of things. One is that, I would, like to ask for, and maybe you can speak to it a little bit today, some transparency about how you decide or how you and the program, interim program director or whoever decides what programs should go where. And, you know, one case in point is the blunt report that Victor Rami does, that, you know, it was taken off as an hour long program and then, you know, moved to half hour slots. And the latest thing, just speaking of the move that I am reminded of, is that more than 40% of the population of Glendale is Armenian, and the Blunt Report is the only program that we have that focuses. Okay.
Michael?
Is that 90 seconds?
No, 60. That's what it says.
Well, our tradition has been 90 seconds.
I'm just following what it says here.
I think he's got the gist of it, Jan. Do you?
Well, no, the second point is that when people want to donate to KPFK, they're given a drop-down menu of programs, and some programs are not even mentioned, and there's no way of mentioning a program that's not on the drop-down menu. And we should also be encouraging people to name several of their favorite programs and not just the one that not just one, because presumably we want people to be listening. And you get the gist.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Michael?
Well, the second question is, first, the drop-down, I think, is a function of the Allegiance the software and database. I thought all the programs were listed, but if there are some that are not, please let me know, and I'll talk to Terry Guy about getting them
Solartopia is not.
Oh, okay. I'm shocked, but...
For example.
All right.
It's California Solartopia. That's, it is on the drop-down.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that's one of the things is people get confused, is sometimes shows have the in the title, and sometimes it's listed by T, and sometimes it's listed by the second word. We'll have to come up with a consistent thing and
maybe do both. Something. Why not?
Yeah. Uh-huh. I think we'll have to talk to Allegiance to see if there's a way that people can do multiples. I did put on the website, if you go to kpfk.org, on the front page, there is a link to a listener evaluation and feedback form in which people can, you know, volunteer the names of the programs they particularly like and other information.
Oh, great.
So, and I've put that out in the Dispatch a couple of times, but we'll do it again. We need an on-air cart, you know, that will air periodically and people know that, about these options. So we'll work on that.
Great.
In terms of the programming, you know, we made this effort to have a kind of a morning drive time show that was, since we did not, we're not in a position to hire someone to do 5 days a week, we put together, when I came on, sort of five different shows we tried to brand as the KPFK Morning Mix, and we kept Blunt Post, which had been on a different hour, as part of that. And then there were a lot of objections about not having Democracy Now on at that hour, and not that much success in getting the five programs to really collaborate with each other and create a common identity across the week. And so it was determined that, you know, that Marlene and I felt it was probably best to put Democracy Now back at 8 and to try to find other places for all the programs we could not work out with, at that time. With Vic, I don't want to have the back and forth we had last time about this, but, we're open to try to figure out a time and place that will work. but the ones that were suggested didn't work with what Vic was interested in. So We are talking with Ankine Argasian, who's been, was developing actually an Armenian language program that she wanted to have as a podcast, and we gave her the go-ahead, but we haven't seen anything further from her, so I'll check on that.
I'm going to suggest that we extend the time. We're out of the time for this, and we have Rodrigo and Carlos also have questions.
And Myla.
Extend it for maybe 5 minutes.
To exhaust the stack?
Pardon me?
I'd like to move that we exhaust the stack.
In other words, call on the people who've already been, who have their hands up, and then end it at that.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, that's right. Okay,
so thank
you. And as you know, Michael, the urgency of Vic is the month of June, or else there's consequences for him. And so just urge you to look at it seriously. Thank you, Jan. Rodrigo, you're up, and then Carlos.
Yeah, my question is, the building at, Studio City is still available for meetings out there. It's, access with the key, but, and also the production room, if it is still working, and, one of the main situations is that the small room that was built at the new location is just not usable. It's just one person. So how are we going to solve this situation? We've been trying to find a place, but they always run like $2,000 a month, you know, and we don't have that much money as an association, but we do need a place. Once you know the one that is in North Hollywood is gone, how are we going to deal with the production of many, many, many programmers? And until when that building can be used? That's, you know, my question. And then for the people who are listening, I mean, like, I saw that the chat
Rodrigo,
is...
Rodrigo, I think he's got the question. The time for question is up.
I just want to finish. Say, quiero terminar, man. So I just want to finish by saying, like, I don't know why the chat is disabled. Why do we disable the chat? You know, we are supposed to get input from the people that are listening.
Let Michael answer the question, Rodrigo. Okay.
I'm gonna finish my
question. We're gonna bring up the chat that's taken into consideration.
Yeah, eso es camarada, maestro. O sea, tú dejas que alguien más hable todo el tiempo que quiere. ¿Me entiendes? Si uno hable. O sea, ¿cómo está eso, man? No? Not only that, you know, you censor people, man. You know, it's not good what you're doing. It's not good. No, you're very discriminative, man.
Thank
you,
Rodrigo.
So, briefly, because Astro is extended, we are at 3729 Coenga until July 8th at this point. The Studio C there is still available. It has to be scheduled. The small production and editing room at 111 Jackson can accommodate two people at the same time, plus there's a live phone or internet connections are available there, and people have started using it, and you can book that. We are working on, there's a kind of a purchase list for being able to use the broadcast studio at 111 Jackson, which would accommodate four or five people easily. At times when it's not being used for live broadcast, we have to buy additional equipment in order to be able to use that as a second recording facility for pre-production. And so that's on the purchase list, and you know, as soon as there's some money available, and hopefully before the end of the month, we'll get that installed. So that in July, that can be used. Again, the scheduling has to be very careful. We did provide equipment to you, and, you know, we're trying to find additional locations. I sent around to everybody. There is a production facility at the LA Public Library. I think at two different libraries, you have to book it through the library system. And I've asked all of the programmers that do have access to production capacity, recording capacity, to let me know if it can be shared by other programmers. So we're doing what we can to try to accommodate people that need to pre-produce. The other thing we're looking at is the use of clean feed. There are a couple of other things similar to Zoom, but they're focused strictly on audio, and that you can arrange to have multiple people on the same feed, and you can edit each track separately in terms of the audio quality and so on. So we'll look for some training on that as well for people.
Okay, but thank
it
you.
It is a tight fit at 111 Jackson, there's no question about it.
Thank you, Michael. Carlos, you're up.
Yes, I'm just happy to hear that we're coming to a point where we can actually have a budget with the closing of the escrow. I also like to point out that probably events. I mean, how do we manage these events, particularly food and entertainment seem to be something that would attract people to an event? Obviously, the book fair is a different kind of entertainment, but I mean, if it was other kinds of things, I guess it would be the venue who would get the permits and things for food. All of those issues, as well as, like you pointed out, the insurance. And then there was another point I wanted to make. Regarding the solar, I completely agree, except that I think it'll be up to the new owners of the building as to how they proceed with renewable energy. I think it's a requirement on permits now that we at least comply with Title 24 and things, and I hear it's getting even more stringent. So it might fall on the new owners. Thank you.
And I, with your enthusiasm about the community events, be considered talking with Nikki about joining the fundraising thing, because that's the kind of energy we need. We are
If I could surmount quickly also, I think the LSP should plan on organizing a town hall sometime in the near future. LSP is supposed to have two town halls a year to take a listener input and feedback, and I think that would be, I'm sure there's a hunger for that opportunity because we haven't been able to do it in person for a long time.
Yeah. Thanks, Michael. I think we're out of the 5 minutes.
We were extending to exhaust the staff.
It's exhausted. The 5 minutes is exhausted.
For staff.
Well, we've already agreed in the past that we extend to exhaust the stack rather than for a specific time.
Okay. So I guess we're going to hear from Vic and then close it.
Well, I actually had my hand up. Someone else removed it, but I was before Nick, and Nick should be last.
Okay. Another 5 minutes. Go ahead, Myla. And then
not necessarily 5 minutes. It's just exhausting the stack. And I just want to urge Michael to reinstate the blunt post to a full hour immediately. It is discriminatory, and being in conversation with some other Armenian person to do a podcast is not equivalent to putting the blunt post back on the air. And we are, the KPFK listening area has one of the largest populations of Armenians in the world. And they're here in our listening area, and they are without the blunt posts that they relied on being broadcast at KPFK. And I'll just go. Thank you.
Thank you, Myla. Thank you. Vic? Yeah, over 600,000, as I understand, Armenians in our greater area. Go ahead, Vic.
Thank you, Tatanga. Thank you, Jan and Myla, for your support, and Harvey. there's a double standard, and communities that don't usually have a voice and haven't been organized tend to sort of be overlooked. If the nature of the way that my show was removed, and the excuses and the disinformation around it was done to a different minority group, there would have been outrage. Now we are in Glendale, KPFK, And the only show that covered, and my show wasn't an Armenian show, but I started covering a lot because of the genocide that just happened for 3 years. And for KPFK not having a single show that covers that, and mine being removed, especially during a election year when I interview members of Congress, I don't have, I just don't understand any of that. I have my thoughts. And lastly, Michael, this is a question you've never answered to me or to board members who've written you. When you took five of us out of our 8 a.m. time slot, the other four programmers all received premium one-hour slots. I was the only person who did not. And after complaining, you said, I'll give you 2 half-hour slots in different days. So I'd like to have the answer to that.
We tried to accommodate all five programs, and there were back and forth. We had different options. My recollection is that we talked about the possibility of Sunday. You didn't think that was good. We talked about the possibility of 2 half-hours.
That never happened.
Okay. I don't know what to say about it. It was not discriminatory. I don't know what to tell you. Beyond that, I'm not going to go into this on this kind of discussion. It's not appropriate.
All right. Avelia, do you have something to say now, or you want to wait till the announcements?
Well, I guess I could begin now by saying, as a convener for the Committee of Inclusion, getting off to a slow start, but what I hear throughout this meeting today is that this is just the thing that could support all of the people and ideas that that feel that they have not been addressed, such as the Blunt Report, and there are several others that I don't want to mention now, because what I want to extend is that everyone in this meeting know that if you look at the bylaws, you will find in, I believe, Section 8 and Article 9, but whatever, it is about the Committee of Inclusion. It's a standing committee, and I'm going to offer a new email address so that anyone of us who wishes to become a part of that, a part of what you might ask, a part of monitoring and addressing the staffing, the programming, for instance, of KPFK, things that we can improve, communities we can include. As I see it, there are so many communities that listen to our station. I'm sure they're identified on some form because, in compliment, the interim general manager, Mr. Novick, I really do believe that great things have happened. Things that weren't true when I started 7 years ago with KPFK, but we need to improve it further. So, okay, the Committee of Inclusion can cover a lot of these things. Reporting then to the board and to the LSB, what we find. We can be the sticking point for Spanish programming, for addressing the Blunt Report properly, urging our general manager to have these meetings and see if we can't rework the grid to accommodate someone who has gone about this programming of news. He's not just about Armenian news. And I don't think any good program would be just about anything. It would include the gathering of people to make the world a better place. That's kind of what KPFK and Pacifica is about. So I'll say it. You see, it's a terrible thing to be toward the end because everybody's already taken your words by then. But what I haven't heard is an email address I'll post in the chat or I'll post to you is Jones, J-O-N-E-S dot Evelia, E-V-E-L-I-A at iCloud.com so that I can see and who is interested in working with me. As the convener, I don't have to be the chair of this group, but I will pull it together and we'll have common goals and we'll get started. So, I guess while I have the floor, I was supposed to address, Vic Jerami. So I'll just take the time, if that's okay with you, to do that now. There is a request of the general manager or the interim general manager, Mr. Michael Novick, that the blunt post, for several reasons, be addressed with urgency now and be placed back in this 1 hour slot. But the reasons are, LSB, that it's an exceptional program. Vic Germani is no newbie host. He's very experienced. He can get his hands on Congress people, governors, mayors, all kinds of political whatnots. He was actually responsible for Marianne Williamson, one of the candidates for presidency, to announce that she would drop out of the race. Well, that's big time. That's 60 Minutes stuff. So he was able to do that. We missed the opportunity of having someone with that kind of connection to the world. Not only Glendale, not only Los Angeles and our other areas that we reach, but he has the experience to reach way beyond that and bring the kind of attention we want. So that speaks well for him and for the program. As was already said, the Armenian cultures and peoples are not represented at KPFK the way they should be. We understand that there's someone, Maria Amudian, who has a show, a very fine show, but she does not identify and address Armenian issues. So the blunt report would be that show. We have an issue of cross-sectional listeners, and it's a big deal. It's Pride Month, but we don't really have a program, to my knowledge, that pulls this element of people in and allows them to express themselves. So let's just say in honor of Pride Month, maybe we need to start thinking how we can do that. I've always believed that the Asian populations and communities are not represented. And with a little experience in radio myself, I know that this is not an instant thing. But we'd like to see some people pitch some ideas and let's work together, Michael, and your program director, and see if we can't get and make some progress there. So, okay, I'm overriding my time, but I will say that we don't want to betray our Pacifica bylaws. The office and committee, should I say, of inclusion is a standing committee and should serve the purpose of bringing the ideas we have of our diverse communities and having them express themselves on our station properly. We need to get on that, and I will lead. So thank you to all of you who said everything I needed to say before I could get to it. And I'll repeat through the email what the address would be for getting involved. We need one director, and we need three LSB members to become a valid committee. All right.
All right. Thank you. And thank you, Avelia. Thank you so much. And everyone, all the board members will receive that email again from, if you didn't get it the first time, from Avelia.
Mr. Chair, may I be recognized? It looks like on our agenda we had scheduled 15 minutes of public comment.
Yep.
Following the general manager's report. And so we kind of skipped ahead to the Committee of Inclusion. But we have next on the agenda 15 minutes of public comment, followed by the director's report to be given by Jan Goodman, and then the LSB committee reports following that is the way that I'm seeing it on the screen.
We're about 15 or 20 minutes behind schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to just say let's go ahead with public comment. They waited a long time, and then we'll just pick up the same way. Thank you for that suggestion, Myla. Okay, time for public comment. This is for any member on the – any community member. And I believe that's 90 seconds. And then you get a notice, and then if there is time later, you can come back with another 60 seconds. All right. Okay, taking it in order, there's a call from – oh, that's Margo. Okay. No, our first person up is 909 area code, ends with 510.
Yes, that's me.
Okay, you have the floor.
Andrew Weiss, listener member. The bylaws mandate 30 minutes of public comment, so I hope we respect that. Also, the bylaws mandate regular reports to the listener on air for the LSB. We have not been in compliance for a long time, possibly for good reason, but the situation has changed. When can we expect our LSB to start returning to the airwaves and following the will of the PNB and opening up communication with the listeners they represent and the members through the best way possible, which is on the air, our airwaves. And then also a question for in general, what does listener sponsor radio mean? Does it mean that we are only funded by the listeners, which is not true, of course. We take grants, we do community events, etc. Or does it mean that the shows that generate the most income get the most weight in programming as far as staying on the air, number of hours and best time slots? And if so, does that mean the wealthier people are favored? The wealthier listeners are favored as far as deciding our programming? And is that what Pacifica is about? And are we not about educational radio and not about generating income to decide programming? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And we do have another 15 minutes a little bit later in the program, which adds up to 30. So look for that time frame, too. Okay, Margo, you're up.
Yes. I will actually show you what I look like.
Yes.
This is my question. I'm going to go fast. First of all, I think that Myla was bringing up some good points. I also disagree with that we should not be basing what programs are on the air by how much money they raise. And I think this was a good meeting. Secondly, I think that we really have to follow this thing, unity and community. And that was just what Ralph Nader was saying, that we do need to show and represent all the communities and get us together so that we can make big changes in what's going on in our world. Of course, with, you know, we know the military budget is predominant and things like that. And then I wanted to say that also, I just went about the election process. The single transferable voting is okay, but that there's more than one position open on these elections. It's not just one candidate that's supposed to get number ones. But if we have each candidate being able to be rated by who we like as number one, and we can put in several different number ones, number twos, number threes for the candidates we, the people, listeners, sponsors, want to know about, one who in there. I think that would be a better way to change it. And I did, I appreciate the reports by the general, the GM, the executive director. She gave a very good report. And that's, making sure that we all stick together and be promoting KPFK wherever we go. I carry cards around and tell everybody all over, even in places in other parts of the state, a different kind of chats, and so they can turn it on live. And so I think it's really important that we share this and let the variety of programming be good. Okay, thank you. I really appreciate that. And everybody should communicate. And there's some unidentified people. Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, Margo.
Okay, you're welcome.
That was wonderful. We have more people wanting to share. Let's leave some time for new people who haven't shared, who are listeners. And if no one shows, and the people who just spoke, including Margo and the gentleman before, if you want another 60 seconds at it, you've got it. Was that Lee? Oh, Andrew. Andrew, you're up. Andrew Weiss.
Yes.
Andrew Weiss here, if you can hear me.
Yes, we can.
Might I get a response regarding the LSB doing the report to the listener? It's required once every 2 months. That's just minimum, but more would be even better. We do have the general manager report to the listener, which is great, but we need to hear from our elected representatives. Might we get an answer to that, please? Thank you.
Thank you. And let's see. Okay, 3-1-0.
There is an invitation out to the LSB to put together a proposal for a report. The past procedure was rotating among the various members of the LSB. So, at any time that you want to try to schedule that, Tanka, for this month, if possible, or next month, we can do so.
Okay, the next person up is 310-022.
Hi, this is Bella DeSoto.
Hi, Bella.
Hi. I need to address several things. First of all, you continue to hold on to individuals that have never attended this meeting, or they probably just showed up the first month. You are doing that so that you do not pull in from the runner-up list, because Jan Goodman is undoing that governance structure from the bylaws, and it is creating havoc at the PNB. I sent all of you a lot of information this morning. Just right after your meeting started, I did not have the time to do so before. I urge you to read it carefully, so that you understand what is going on internally in Pacifica. The other issue is that there's a lot of cheap talk about allowing and working with the Spanish language programmers on this meeting while you are doing absolutely nothing and cutting off Rodrigo twice, because you have to allow more time for him to express his thought, given the impairment of the language. The other issue is that there are many community events that the Spanish language has conducted over the years. The monies have not been properly allocated on the general ledger. And this continues to be a great problem. So when the P&L comes out, the income statement, it does not show properly under community events. The other, if I may, please, I will finish real quickly. In May,
Bella, you can have another 60 seconds. Just take a break, and then you'll have a second time.
Thank you.
All right, any new people that we haven't heard from the community? And if not, those that have already spoken once will get 60 seconds until... How are we doing on time overall, Michael?
In this segment, you started at 1:05. It's 1:11, so call it another 5 minutes.
Okay.
The public comment segment.
Okay, good. So, Bella, you're first up. You get another 60 seconds.
Okay, good. Thank you. I want to declare I want to declare once again this is an illegitimate body because it was manipulated through the elections of last year and the cancellation of the 2022 elections. And also this year's elections will be manipulated unless various issues get taken care of. And they're being argued at the PMB level. And of course, the forces of the New Day campaign are trying to prevail by undoing the bylaw structure. On May 16th, I sent a certified register letter to the ED, Stephanie Wells, with a list of demands of requiring documentation, including financial transparency and documentation, access, proper access to the membership list, which has been denied, only afforded to a New Day, so that there can be communication and explanation as to what is going on internally at KPFK. On May,
That's your time. Let's see. Who else wants to share?
Mr. Chair, I move that we continue with the agenda unless this is a new person who's just raised their hand and we can extend in 30 seconds.
Well, I think,
Marla, there are about 5 minutes left in this.
Yeah, we have some more time. 832-438. Did you report, or I can't remember. Did you already have 110 speak once? You can speak again. It's just a matter of how much time. And you need to unmute yourself. Okay.
Are you calling 1-1-4-3-8?
Yes, I am.
Okay, I have not spoken yet. This is Nancy Steiber. I'm not telling me from KPFT Houston. And I really want to remind the old members of who know this and the new members who are not aware. But the KPFK LSB voted unanimously, I believe that was a unanimous vote. I think there was no objections to the town hall meeting on the air. And the KPFT also voted unanimously to do that as well, has not complied yet. So I challenge you, be the first station in the Pacifica network to actually do it. And respect all their members, even those who have no Wi-Fi device. Include everybody. Your next town hall meeting should be on the air. Do it. Okay. And other things I will say, maybe not so important, but volunteers, in my opinion, are more dependable. And they are more financially advantageous when we, Pacifica, are in such a not so financially advantageous degree or level. The other thing I like to say is just, well, if you cannot do anything with some of that roof, you might suggest putting white paint. White paint lowers the inside of the temperature to as much as 2 degrees lower.
All right. That is your time. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. And I think we have a couple minutes left. Is that right? 1 minute or? You're Michael, you're muted.
People have been trying to mute me for years. You've got about 3 minutes left.
Okay, Rodrigo, you are up.
This is for listeners, not members of the...
I'm sorry. I forgot. This is for listeners only, Rodrigo. Go ahead. Rodrigo, this is for listeners only. I'm sorry. Yeah, board members would love to talk here, but we're not talking here. We need to leave this time for the non-board members. Okay.
I'll wait.
And we've got announcements at the end too. Okay. Okay. Are you sure you're doing that time? What time is it?
I've got the when you see the blue stopwatch is the segment time, okay. And the white stopwatch is the, there it is, is the speaker time.
Okay.
So you've got about two more minutes, and I see John Gary down on the bottom there with his hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, my name is John, KPFK listener sponsor. I was looking at the calendar on KPFTX, and I noticed that the most recent posted approved minutes from this body is, I think, February. And so I don't know whose job it is to post completed minutes on the website. It's helpful to us out here. When I was secretary, I posted them myself, and I got help to do that from Otis McClay, who I assume is still with the foundation. So if nobody has been assigned that task, somebody should take it up if possible, so we can look at the approved minutes, and they can be posted more frequently, hopefully. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I think, I'd like to respond to that, but it's not our time to.
I can respond. And
okay, go ahead.
I'm really glad to have that reminder. I will get them up immediately. Thank you, John.
Okay. Any other non-board members? Okay.
You're right about it. You're 15 minutes for this public comment segment, Tonka.
Okay,
this is
thank
Bella
you.
DeSoto. I was supposed to be given 60 seconds.
You were.
You were given 60 seconds. There's another a share meeting later, Bella. So let's go on. The next stage in our report is LSB committee reports. And we'll take it from the top.
What about 438? 438 has had their hand up for a while.
There's another time to share a little bit later. We're very behind on our meeting, and I want to get to so we can have another share. LSB committee reports. Okay, program oversight committee. Evelia, do you have more to add?
No.
Or just a reminder of what people can do?
Tatanka, next.
Yes, I have one more. What is it?
Next on the agenda is the director's report, the PNB.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Okay, No, you're exactly right. PNB director's report. Is that you, Jan?
Yes.
Okay. You've got 10 minutes. Go.
Okay. I'm going to make mine shorter so that, so that we can
terrific.
Catch up a little bit. I sent in the director's report. It will be posted online so that people can read, that listeners and listeners can read it on the entirety of it online. And I sent it to all of the LSB members, so they should have it. But I will emphasize a couple of items that I think are significant. Stephanie already mentioned it. But I just want to highlight the fact that there was this FCC investigation of improper programming, and Pacifica and the FCC reached a consent decree to that Pacifica would no longer use that kind of programming. And as Stephanie says, we haven't used it for a while here at KPFK. And I just want to emphasize that was a very big, important potential liability for us, and we've escaped that particular thing. Another couple of things. One, and Abella kind of referred to it in some way, but just so everyone is aware that the PNB adopted a resolution at our last meeting, which was on Thursday, to start a noticed period for proposed bylaw changes. And that bylaw change is to change the way that vacancies are filled on the local station board? Are present bylaws, the way people are replaced is that they, if somebody goes off of the board, the next highest loser becomes the person who goes on the board, and this has created a couple of major problems because it seems that some people on local station boards have perhaps been encouraged to drive people off of the board sometimes so that people on the alternate list are the losers can then become elected. And this system is essentially kind of crazy. I think the people who thought it up thought it would be a great idea, but it's like, okay, we elected Biden, but now, you know, Biden left for some reason. You know, he decided to retire or health reasons or whatever. And so the runner-up is Trump. So we get Trump instead of Biden. So it's a very anti-democratic way of, in some people's opinions, of picking replacements. So the proposed bylaw changes that to the elected people who have been elected would elect a new person to replace the person who goes off the board. And that person could be one of the runners up, but it could be someone else who has been a member of a listener member or a staff member, depending on who goes off the board. So that is an upcoming issue. So people may hear about it. And I wanted to explain what that bylaw amendment consists of, and the local station boards will be voting on it, and the national board will be voting on it as part of the process, and there will be announcements about it on the air in the upcoming period. The other thing that's coming up that people should be very aware of is that the election process for LSB members is now underway once more, and that means that people who have timed whose terms are ended will be going off the board, and new people will be elected to the local station boards this year, and that means. And the record date, the date by which people have to both get their nominating papers in order and turned in, and the date by which people have to be officially members of Pacifica, a very important date, is June 30th. So if you want to vote in this election or you want to run in this election, June 30th is the operative record date, and people need to be aware of that. Another thing that was done in connection with that is that the local station boards were asked to compile a list so that everybody knew when they were elected and when the last day of their term is. And that is, it's an arduous process because of people being replaced and so forth. Myla Reason took the time to put that report together, and that is attached as an appendix to the director's report, which all of the LSB members have and which will be posted on the KPFK website. And there are other things, but I think these are the highlighted things, and you can move the agenda forward, and maybe we'll save a couple of minutes.
Okay. Thank you, Jen. How much, Michael, how much time?
There are 3 minutes left in this segment.
Wonderful.
Well, if possible, as a timekeeper, may I use some time? I have a quick question for Jen.
I do too, Rachel.
I have a question too. You know, we raise our hands, please.
Yes, my hand is raised.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Quick question, Jen. In your director's report, you mentioned that the one of the pending legal actions was settled without prejudice, which is good to hear. Is there anything that you can speak to that was discussed as to whether there's any settlement, monetary or otherwise, that was attached to that? If it's confidential, I understand, so be it. But was there at least any settlement, or was it just, done away with without prejudice? Which
the plaintiffs filed a motion to dismiss without prejudice. There was no settlement. Pacifica did not have to pay anything or do anything.
Or agree to anything.
Or agree to anything.
Thank you. Right. So they filed
the calendar
without prejudice. See ya.
Right.
Thank you.
Terrific.
Okay. I had a question for Jim. Yeah.
Could Rodrigo go first? He had his hand up a long time ago. I mean, I'm just asking because it just seems fair.
I didn't think it had to do with this issue, but go ahead. Does this have to do with what we're talking about on this agenda item, Rodrigo?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Listening to what this woman is saying, the issue is that if you're going to be picking up your friends, let's say, you know, whoever, you know, like, let's say if someone is not on the board, but he or she can decide who's going to be replacing him, why do we have elections then? That means that everyone will get their own clan, their own gangs, or their own people, their own friends, and we'll say, you know what, let's choose this next one. So this is what we are listening right here. An incredible way of trying to control, you know, by certain people, either side. It doesn't matter whether, you know, New Day or, you know, other groups, whatever. You know, what we're seeing also, it's a big lawsuit against Pacifica, because now we are going to, escúchame, carnal. ¿Me entiendes? ¿Sabes qué? Tú no dejas hablar, man. Si no me dejas hablar, entonces, ¿qué caso tiene
que ver? I understand the question. I'll answer the question, Rodrigo.
Rodrigo, I understand the question.
I will answer the question.
Discriminadores, man. Son muy discriminadores. Y sobre todo usted, señor. Usted que está encargado de la mesa. ¿Cómo es posible que otra persona se estén hable y hable y hable? No tiene un problema. Quiero hacer una pregunta. Todo el gran problema aquí tiene que ver con eso. Porque ni siquiera...
This is not a translation of what you said before.
No, por eso.
And your time is up. This is not a translation of what you said before. So,
I know you feel disrespected, but you're disrespecting our process.
I am being disrespected. Because you allow the people to go over and over.
You asked a question, and she wants to answer it.
I want to finish my question, and
the question
I want to.
You ask the question, and I will answer it if you want it answered. If you just want to make a speech, your 60 seconds is up, according to Michael.
Oh, it's not 60 seconds; it's actually 90 seconds.
Is it 60 seconds or 90 seconds?
It doesn't matter. Over to 90
seconds.
I mean,
you're over the 90 seconds. Is it Rachel's turn, or shall I answer the question, Mr. Chair? Should I answer the question? So, yes, this, people, of course, this is democracy, and people do gather the people that they want to vote for them. I get all my friends and anybody else I can get to vote for me, and Rodrigo, you get everybody you want to vote for you. That's what democracy is all about. And then, the next part of it is, how do you, people get elected. Some people, you know, get 500 votes, and some people get 5 votes. And the question is, does it make sense to have the person who gets 5 votes, take the place of somebody who was elected, or the people who got 500 and 400 and 300, who actually got the most votes to have, and who actually represent a number of people, to have them make the decision, or the person who got 3 votes just because they managed to get online, who get in line to have that person elected. And that is a question that will be brought eventually. Thank you.
I
want to address the same thing, and I'm not saying that someone's trying to do something, but it does not smack Democratic to me, Jan. First of all, I think board members who don't show up, whatever the bylaws is, they're gone, and we haven't really been following that, so I agree with that. It should be quite firm, and let's not take a lot of time with it. But also, I was actually elected that way, or I got on my local neighborhood council in San Pedro just for the reason that you're saying that isn't Democratic. It was, I was like, seven could be elected, and I was number eight. Well, turns out one of the seven ended up not coming on, and I got on, and I was great, FYI. But I think that's more Democratic, and it's called ranked choice voting. And that's actually what we're all progressive kind of going for. It's more ranked choice voting than absolutely someone coming in who actually got zero votes. So I would say that it's not between 500 and four. It's between who got, who got 100 and then who got 80. I mean, it's not us who votes. And so, we're unfortunately in a winner take all. And the example you used of Biden and Trump, that's winner take all. And that doesn't work. Neither does like choosing your replacement. I definitely feel it should be the next runner up because that's how I got on my neighborhood council and that's called ranked choice voting. So I would go for that.
Okay. Michael, how are we doing on timing? Where are we?
We're five minutes over on this segment.
I would love to have people hold it for comments at the end so that we can get on to the rest of the reports. We're well over 5 minutes over. We're about 20 minutes over time already. So I'd like to go on to the fundraising committee report and then the committee of inclusion report. Nikki, do you have a brief report?
Hi, yes, this is Nikki, and I don't have anything new to report because we need to hold another meeting. Yep. I'm really grateful to Stephanie's report from today and Michael, everyone's reports, especially things to do with finance and then community events and things together. So, it's still a work in progress and it's I'll have more to talk about next time.
So we'll have one for the July meeting?
Yes.
Okay, great. And we'll have to contact everybody by email to let everybody know.
Yes.
With plenty of time. Okay, thank you. I knew
that. And thank you to Tonka.
Yep. And now.
Thank you for all your help.
Sure. Committee of Inclusion, Avelia, do you have any summary or appeal before we leave that? Because you gave a good report, but you might want to remind people what you're asking for.
I'll remind that we are seeking a committee of inclusion to have volunteers identify themselves to jones.avelia@icloud.com. We are going to have real diversity in our station, and we're going to do it the right way and the fair way. Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Okay. We are now back to, Michael.
Programming Oversight.
Pardon me?
Programming Oversight Committee.
Oh, thank you. Programming Oversight Committee.
Thanks, Tatanka. I'll make this quick so we can save some time. So basically, I'll summarize. We wanted to start with an inventory of what we have. So we have 130 HOs, went through them and expanded to make sure that we capture, if it's locally produced or not locally produced, suggestion by Myla, and also make sure we have everyone's contact number and that, the theme of each show is exactly what the programmers intended to be rather than what we have. So I asked Michael to send out an email to all programmers to get back to me with all this info, including the target audience. Out of 130 programmers, I received 37 emails, at least so far, who have, you know, updated the info and all of that. So that was the second phase of what we wanted to do. And I've also done an analysis of how many shows do we have that address each topic or genre. Now we're going to go into the third phase at our next meeting.
Whoop, did you finish or did it just end?
Oh, I finished. I'm done.
Okay, great. Thank you. I must be getting tired. Okay. Now, before we do public comment, Michael, you've had your
hand up.
You
need to finish on the motion. The motion is the hot topic. We need to finish that debate. You cut everybody off who had their hand up.
There's no motion on the floor. I'm sorry, Sue. What are you talking about, a motion? There's no motion.
D&D motion.
Jan made a motion about how replacements are chosen in a, when you somebody vacates. And we need to finish that debate.
No, I don't think you heard her right. Jan, what did you say?
Just to clarify, that is something that the actual motion I was just saying will be coming to the local station board in the next month or so, and then we will actually debate it, and then we will actually vote yes or no. So I was just saying that it's an upcoming issue, and since it's going to be there will be announcements about it on the air. And I just wanted to let people know what it was about. And I think it's great that, you know, maybe we should schedule some time at the next meeting to talk about it, and maybe the next meeting, whatever we want to do.
Yes.
But it's not on the agenda for today, because we are over time today in just getting out of here on time. So this is not, it's nothing we're going to be voting on today, so we don't have to finish that.
Yeah. And I want to,
and I appreciate
everybody has their hands up.
Jan, I want to thank you for being transparent about it early so we can communicate the issues. There will be time at the end. What is next? Public comment time. Okay. That time for the non-members now, not the LSB members. And
what about fundraising? Michael
Heiss, can you tell me what time it is now and where we are with the timing? If we have another 25 minutes to go, let's see.
Hang on, sorry, I had to walk away for a second. The old clock on the wall says 1:40. We have 15 minutes left for public comments, 5 minutes left for community announcements, and 5 minutes left for Harvey's motion. So we've got 25 minutes left. We're 5 minutes behind, and it is now 1:40 p.m.
Okay. The time certain was 1:45. I think if we keep to our time period, we'll be out of here by 2:05 or so.
All right, but we owe the public comments 15 minutes to adhere.
Yeah,
to.
Right. So
whatever.
We're running about 20 minutes or so behind as it is now. Okay. Now is our public comment section. And this is now the second 15 minutes for the folks that sit for a long time and listen to the rest of us board members talk. So this is your second time around. And, the other people who, let's see.
I'm sorry, Harvey. Excuse me. 90 or 60 per speaker.
I think
not Harvey Tatanka. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I think it's 90 here too.
Okay, for the got first it.
Time,
got it.
And then 60 for the second time.
Got it.
And John, you've got your hand up.
Thank you. Like I said before, I've served as the
secretary of this LSB on a couple occasions. The motion that Jan Goodman mentioned is very interesting to me. I would urge the directors and whoever's going to vote on it to look at it very closely. Replacing people on the board, updating the roster is something I did for years. The process was very simple. This is what I did. A member would inform us that they were retiring or resigning from the board, or a member might be removed for three consecutive unexcused absences. When that happened, I would go online and I would go to the results of the last election. I would look at the first runner-up, depending on whether it was a listener or a staff member. I would email that person and ask and invite them to fill the seat that's been empty. And then when they answered me and told me, yes, I accept the invitation, I would update the roster and they would become a seated member just that easily. And I would, of course, keep the chair informed of all these. I would CC the chair on all these developments. And at the next meeting, the new member would be announced as a new member and would participate. And that was it. I've done it many times with numerous chairs. That's the whole process. It's very simple. If you want to, Michael, when I'm out of time, just call out. Don't be afraid to talk.
Don't be afraid to jump in on me.
That's fine.
Got it.
So it was a very simple process. And if you're going to make it more elaborate or more complicated or more subtle or precise, I recommend looking at it very closely. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Bella, you're up.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Thank you, John P. Gary, for clarifying that very simple process. But what is happening here is the overt operation of eliminating the actual democratic governance structure of the Pacifica Foundation, Inc. bylaws. That is what is at stake here. And that would be Article 4, Section 10, which is the replacement, delegates, the replacement of vacancies. If people do not understand how simple this is and how historic this has been carried out, because it's very centralized to the governance structure of Pacifica, Jan Goodman is trying to undo, and once she prevails, by undoing this, New Day Pacifica, as they call themselves, will have the complete door open to take over Pacifica Foundation, Inc. That is what is at stake here. And that is the reason why at least four individuals that came in originally as either elected, never showed up, or replacements, never showed up, have never been replaced. Because the people on the waiting list, guess what? Do not support New Day. And that is the reason why they have not been pulled in. Once again, on May 16th, I sent a certified letter registered to the
time, EP, Bella.
And received the return receipt on the 20th. She has not responded as of yet. And I want to let you know.
Okay, you'll have another shot in a bit. Margot? Your time.
Yes, I just wanted to say that I don't know, was there a fundraising committee report? Somebody mentioned that it wasn't that. I think that this restriction on the time is quite undemocratic. People can't always precisely rehearse what they're going to say, but we need a fundraising report that's very vital to our committee, our programming, and our cessation of how it's our funds being raised other than on the on-air fund drives. And that's one of the main things I think should be also discussed and very thoroughly having a large report on what the committee's doing to help raise funds in other ways. And I think this restriction of the timing is a little bit too, yeah, I don't know, there's just like a little bit something in it. I think I wanted to say one other thing about looking at the bylaws, looking at the parliamentary procedure. I don't think there's a need in the minutes to report who made a motion and who said yes and who said no. It was moved and seconded that da 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 da, and the ayes prevailed or the yeses prevailed and the noes prevailed. But there's no listing in all the groups I've ever been in. We never said so and so said moved it and so and so seconded it. That was not in the report. Okay, so I think that is a technicality might be followed to make people more able to make reports. But I think that the restriction of the timing is a little bit too restrictive. And I think I'd like to have more people report. There's still some people who don't have their names showing. So that's my thing. Oh, by the way, you should see what I look like. Hi. It's great to do this, connecting people all over. So I hope everybody has a good day. But we got to keep procedure of interacting and communicating in all various ways, and allowing all different people to bring up their ideas and have really good, thorough discussions. I hope we'll meet in person someday soon. We should just have community gatherings, and I think that was a very important thing to start going on. Okay.
Hate to do that to you, Margo.
Thank you, Margo. Okay. Sue Cohen-Johnson.
Sue's on the board.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. You'll wait for the next time around. Losing it here. Andrew Weiss.
Right.
Yes, thank you. This is Andrew Weiss. Once again, following up with the LSB mandated report to the listener. I think I heard our general manager, interim general manager, give an invitation to this body to perform its required duty of reporting and being accountable to the listeners on the air. But I do not recall hearing a response from the chair or from anybody in this body. Who decides this? Will we get a response at this meeting or any time? Who decides if the LSB will take up the IGM and do the report to the listener that is required? Does the chair decide this? Does the body decide this? Does anybody on this body care about being accountable to the listeners and communicating with the listeners? And will they speak up at this meeting? I've heard nobody yet. Perhaps somebody in this body does care about that and can bring this up and we can get a response. Thank you.
Thank you. I'm not sure I understand what you said, Michael said, but maybe we can deal with that in a bit. Next up is 1438.
Oh, 1438?
Yeah.
Okay, that's me, Nancy Saibara Naditomi from KPFT Houston. What I'd like to say about Thursday night, that's June 6th, Thursday night PMB meeting, all four KPFK directors, that is Jan Goodman, Myla Reason, Harvey Wasserman, and Evelia Jones voted for this notice to the entire foundation that they're going to change the bylaws. The runner-ups of elections will no longer be used according to this proposal, this proposed bylaw amendment. However, in proposing this, they are violating the present bylaws that say otherwise, that we respect the runner-ups. And I do take offense in calling runner-ups losers. And Jan Goodman on this meeting called them losers twice. Well, you're listening to a loser twice and a ninth place elected twice. And you know what? When you do this, when you reduce the size, when you let that power, the majority of the LSB decide who goes on and you don't respect the runner-ups, you're just empowering the majority. It's just a power grab.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you. I didn't hear her say that. It was a little bit more nuanced than that, but we'll see. Bella, I think you're up for 60 seconds. How are we doing on time, Mike?
You can hear me, okay? Hang on 1 second. Let me answer the question. 4 more minutes in this segment, and then I'll start the clock on Bella.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Bella.
Thank you. Yes, I totally support and agree and concur with what
Nancy Saibara Naritomi from KPFT has just stated, the democratic existing bylaws provision is what needs to be followed. Jan Goodman, for a number of years, has been influencing all kinds of changes which have not come to fruition as of yet, but she's trying very hard through all kinds of machinations in the background now at the PMB level to undo the bylaws one by one.
What point of order?
And on May 30th,
just a second. Hold on.
And on May 30th.
Point of order. We have.
Yeah, this is getting over the top. Go ahead, Marla.
We have a standing rule not to allow this kind of name calling and questioning people's integrity.
I have the floor.
No, not for this.
Bella has the floor.
We have a standing rule against this.
Bella has the floor.
Just a second. Hold on. Hold on.
So you have to listen.
Hold a second. The chair is speaking.
Let Bella keep speaking.
Let Bella finish speaking.
I'm going to give her time back, okay?
So don't be anti-democratic.
Wow. Rodrigo, if you want to run for chair, run for chair.
But this is incredible. You're allowing them. You're allowing them.
We're having a debate here about whether something that was said was an ad hominem attack or not. I can't hear myself talk.
Can't hear you.
Okay. So we're having a debate on whether this was an ad hominem attack or whether it's a radically different point of view accusing accusing someone of doing something. Bella, you have your time that you have remaining back. I don't know what that is out of the 60 seconds.
I have the floor.
30 seconds.
I have the floor.
Yeah, you do now, Bella. Go ahead.
Thank you. What is going on at the PMB level is public knowledge. You have no right to cut me off. You have no right to interfere when I am speaking as a public member and also as a suspended illegally member of this body. Okay, you have no right. So I will say what I am saying. If we are not paying attention to what is going on at the PMB level, go to kpftx.org. Learn the rope. Learn. Click on and go and listen to the recording.
Right.
The recordings are there.
Thank you. That's your time. Let's see. Andrew again. Is that right? Is Andrew next up?
No, I do not have my hand up. This is Andrew.
Okay. You do not have your hand up, was that right? Okay. Or you do. I didn't understand that, Andrew.
Andrew, your hand is showing. You might have to lower it.
No, I don't know if we have to take it down, but no, my hand is
showing. Okay, okay, you're not waiting to speak again. Okay. And 1438, that's Nancy, I believe.
1438, Nancy, thank you. I would like to add that this what happened Thursday night is a violation of the bylaws. This proposal of a violation of a bylaw was done because they have the majority. The score was 12 yes to pass that notice to give to the foundation and 7 no and 1 abstention. You know, there's another aspect to this. When think about if we reduce the LSB size, because this is also I hear coming around, you will reduce ethnic minority participation in the LSB. You will reduce the people who have less wealth, less connections, less advantages. You will reduce those people too coming on the board. And we need all kinds of people on the board. This is becoming a power grab. And you know what? Pacifica should be focused
on
water shortage, on food for the hungry, kids going hungry.
Thank you. That's your time.
Education system in Houston being wiped away. You know, more important things, but instead of power.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Last one, I think. Do we have a minute left, Michael?
You've used up the 15 minutes, but you're the boss.
Oh, my gosh. And we're 20 minutes over. I'm going to, at the risk of somebody feeling slighted, we have run the time, and I'm going to move on to the next agenda item. There will be announcements at the end. So, LSB member community announcements. So this is for member community announcements. I do know Harvey. You're up, Harvey.
I have an announcement, Rachel.
Are you here, Harvey? Just a second. I see you.
Harvey's muted. Harvey is muted.
Oh, thank you very much, Sue. Now
can I very quickly announce? This is an announcement.
Yeah.
Leonard Peltier's parole hearing is tomorrow. Mm. And we can go through the Action Network and send letters to the parole board. And I hope that this will be announced to all programmers today. Michael, if you're still on, if we can do an emergency notice to all programmers, the KPFK through the day should be urging our listeners to go through the Action Network. There is a form there that you can send a letter to the parole board. But he could actually be paroled tomorrow. So that's my again, I withdraw my motion until next month and use this time instead to urge everybody, please go to the Action Network. Look for Leonard Peltier, send a letter, and please let's announce this on the station for the next day, and maybe hope to God he can get out.
Thank you very much, Harvey. He's been there just about 50 years now since everybody who accused him added their statement, said the police forced them to make it, the ones that are still alive. Anyway, everybody do that. Thank you. And thank you for withdrawing and putting it to next time. That'll mean that some of us who actually are late for our loved ones can get there since we're over. Okay. Rachel, you're up.
Yeah, real quick. So we did have Peace Week last week. They had 100,000 people down here at the harbor, you guys, for war. 100,000 people. So support us next year, you guys. Upcoming in Saturday, June 22nd, real important action in El Segundo, the head and heart of the military industrial complex here in Los Angeles. There's going to be a multi-supported demonstration. So check out the Harriet Tubman Center or ask me for more info, like a car caravan, a protest right in El Segundo by Raytheon and all that. 2 p.m. June 22nd. It's a Saturday. And the day next day in Wilmington, a group that just got back from Cuba is going to be doing a report back with a live stream about the Latin American School of Medicine. And if you know anyone who wants to be a doctor and doesn't have $500,000, they can go to Havana and become a doctor. Thank you so much.
Woo. Well, thank you for that. Man, the best health center in the world for the people. That is great. I did not know that. And Rachel, let's talk sometime between now and the next meeting. I want to know the kind of the cumulative work that you accomplished on Fleet Week and
Peace Week, sir. Peace Week.
I mean, peace. Yeah, I know. Your Peace Week in the middle of what they call Fleet Week, right?
The so-called Fleet Week. Thank you.
Yeah, the so-called Fleet Week. Okay, I think we have time for one more. Oscar, you are up.
Just a reminder of the Spanish programming event this next Saturday, June 15th at El Sereno Community Garden from 1 p.m. to 6 p.m. at 5466 Huntington Drive, Los Angeles, and different activities for the community, formation, poetry, and information about local nature. It's going to be an event of health and community. Next Saturday, June 15 at the El Sereno Community Garden. You guys are invited. Thank you.
Wonderful. El Sereno Community Gardens. Could you give the address slowly again one more time?
5466 Huntington Drive, Los Angeles, 90032.
Thank you very much. Okay.
This is Michael, quickly with a couple of things. One is...
Certainly, Michael.
I want to remind everybody that we are in a fund drive this month, and I want to urge all the members of the board to reach out to all of their lists, followers, mailing lists, to urge people whose membership has lapsed to renew or who have not been members for a while to become members. Tanda Siswishi Moringa, one of our broadcasters, will be at an event this evening at the Village Well Bookstore. I want to reiterate what... that's in Culver City, Duquesne and Culver Boulevard, 5 o'clock. I want to reiterate what, Harvey said. We have had a number of programs on talking about Linda Peltier, including early this morning on Think Outside the Cage, but I'll see about getting that announcement made on the station. Today is a day of prayer for Leonard. If people want to do that, or good thoughts for his release, for his hearing tomorrow. And, I will urge you to, recreate, or I don't know what the state of it is, an outreach committee and to schedule a town hall as soon as possible. You're supposed to do 2 a year.
Thank you,
May
Michael.
I add something?
And it's, pardon me?
May I add?
Yes, yeah, certainly.
Okay, quickly. I want to remind everyone to get in touch with our general manager, Michael Novick, concerning the Blunt Post, to get back to an hour, and to at least, we urge you, Mr. Novick, to reconsider the decision, and let's make it happen. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. That's a good note to go out on. We are now, what is it, 5 after?
Depending upon your clock, let's call it 5 after, be generous.
Yeah, so we are at 20 minutes over time. Thank you, everyone, for showing up. And love this community. Let's keep coming back. Let's keep being honest. And we'll see you all on, I believe it was the 14th. Yeah, the second Sunday of July is July 14th. So thanks everybody for showing up and for bringing your passion to the meeting. It's a great day. I need to close this out. So I'm formally adjourning the meeting at 2:06 p.m. Pacific time of the LSB KBFK.